welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room for this final broadcast in the InfoWars studios here, the headquarters, Central Texas Command Center. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a big one. We're going to continue to broadcast after the show's over today. And, of course, we will be back on air tomorrow at exactly the same time, but in an all-new place. You got to go to alexjoneslive.com. Make sure you're following us on X at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, and you're going to want to follow at AJ in Live. But we have some good news. The Onion has once again failed in their fraudulent attempt to take over InfoWars. Here's Alex Jones with the announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have breaking exclusive news that just warms my heart and still gives me faith in America and our legal system. The Onion, back with the Democrats and Bloomberg, for the second time in a year and a half, after fraudulently claiming that they own and run InfoWars, another giant hoax, has had their attempt to take us over slapped down by the Third Texas Court of Appeals. This is a massive victory. We're about to break it down right now.
Yeah, look, we won the bid. We own InfoWars, and we are very excited about
that. But is it true that you didn't have the highest bid?
We did.
The Onion has finally acquired InfoWars.
Yes, we have. We've taken over the InfoWars studio and the IP and the website and all that stuff, yeah.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship. And I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
In November of 2024, The Onion, backed by the Democrat Party, top Democrat law firms, and Michael Bloomberg, fraudulently claimed that they had won InfoWars in an auction. We went to the federal court and showed them there was no auction. The judge ruled there wasn't an auction, and he said it looked like fraud, and he fired the people that were involved in it. And a year before that, there was a U.S. trustee also fired by the judge that tried to shut us down without a court order. Now, for the third time, we have seen an attempt to do this, the second time with The Onion. As you saw everywhere, 2 weeks ago, they announced, we're in the studio, we own it, we're selling merchandise, we won it in court. There was not even a court hearing. But the judge who ran the show trial in Texas, where she found me civilly liable before she ever even had a jury trial, was set to have a hearing tomorrow, and it was obvious that she was going to try to hand it over to them, despite the fact it's still on appeal, a total violation of my rights. And so now, today, we filed just yesterday at the Third Court of Appeals in Texas, it's a Democrat panel, this information, and they put a stay on the whole thing and want full hearings and an investigation and have told the judge that she's going to have new hearings and show her evidence. Because she also refused to give us bond last year. Under law, civil and criminal, you have to do that. I could shoot people and still get bond. But she said no. She told my lawyers at the hearing, you can't even talk. I'm not going to hear bond. That's how crazy this is. And back when they first had their show trial, where she told the jury I was guilty, she then, after the jury found me guilty, because she instructed them to find me guilty, guilty until proven guilty, 2 weeks after, she added other civil liabilities on that weren't even before the jury. And she said, in court rulings, I don't care what the Supreme Court of Texas says. I'm doing this. These people are wild-eyed and nuts. So, for the second time in a year and a half, The Onion has declared they own this place, they run it, when they don't. And they're selling for $35 a grocery bag, tote bag, with The Onion as the InfoWars logo. Before they ever got it. Do you realize that is hijacking a company? It's not just civil. In the federal statutes, it's illegal. So these crazy-eyed people are going to just keep going for broke. They're like zombies that just keep attacking. A year and a half ago, we'll show you some clips. They were so upset. Oh, we had to go on antidepressants. It's terrible.
So we're very excited to take that over. And look, it's Alex Jones.
The headline is, The Onion has failed to buy InfoWars. InfoWars is still shutting down, but we will be up again tomorrow. Gaines in studio with me. Don't go anywhere.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheOptionStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheOptionStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you for the last time, live from the InfoWars studios here in Austin, Texas. This will be our last broadcast under the InfoWars banner, and we'll be launching again tomorrow from the off-site satellite Escape Pod Studios under Alex Jones Network. You got to go to alexjoneslive.com to find us, share that link, tell your friends, and don't let us fade from your daily media consumption. Because I know how it happens. People get in habits, and if the website they used to go to doesn't have the thing they watch, they just don't watch anymore. Don't do that to us. Won't you follow us to wherever we go? Because without you, we are nothing. I'm in studio with the one and only Myron Gaines. He, of course, is the host of The Debrief. He's a best-selling author, real estate investor. Prior to entrepreneurship, Gaines was a special agent with Homeland Security Investigations in the Laredo, Texas, Miami, and Florida field offices. And of course, you've been going viral every day, it seems, with these appearances at universities. How's that going? Because I was actually asking you before the show, but I think people would want to know this as well, because I've thought about doing stuff like this, but after Charlie Kirk, I don't know, am I being cowardly by going, I don't think I want to go out and put my life in danger like that?
No, I mean, it's pretty rational. People are weird and crazy. I mean, I told you about the one guy that, like, you know, tried to reach in his bag to try to be funny or whatever, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? You're going to get shot by the cops that are right next to you, idiot.
But, right.
You know, it takes a certain kind of person. I mean, I don't care so much. I'm not so worried. I guess maybe it's because I used to do for work. So like when you're dealing with like, you know, crazy criminals, you don't think so. But like, you know, at the same time, you don't want to get like, you know, overzealous and, you know, put yourself in a precarious situation. But, you know, it's entertaining, to see how, a lot of these so-called intellectuals are really stupid.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah. How do we deal with this? Cause like at this point, I'm like, I don't even want to talk about politics anymore because everything seems so obvious to me. It's like, why do we have to talk about this still? Just everything. But like I posted today, it's like, man, if there was just for example, me, if I was given dictatorial, unquestionable powers, I think I could clean up America in about a week. I think it'd take about a week, but like every problem we face is so imminently solvable and we just don't do it. And it's just this endless cascade of like deliberate, like, problems that we choose to create for ourselves. And it's just infuriating. And I'm like, we played the video yesterday where it's a guy with giant rubber tits and the big spindly beard and bald head and lipstick. And he's teaching a class at Oxford. And it's just like,
bro, clown
do
world.
I have to explain this? Like, why do I have to explain
I'll tell you this
is crazy and wrong?
I've talked about this. If I was ever to become the fear of the United States, what I would do immediately.
A dream we all, you know, revel in.
Day one would be an IQ test.
Right?
If you score under a 90, you're going to become a slave. We're going to make slavery great again. And then after that, I'm going to take all the women's rights away. They can't vote. They got to be in the house by 8 p.m. We're going to put them back in the kitchen. And then what else? I talked about the slavery. So they're going to be manufacturing. They're going to be putting fries in a bag.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We're going to get back to making them pick cotton. And then we're going to make manufacturing great again in America. We don't need Chinese anymore. We just need slaves.
The slaves
are going to do all the labor. And we'll put them in a house or a cottage or whatever. They don't got to pay for anything. But we're going to make slavery great again. And then what else? We're going to get rid of the fat people as well.
You know what's funny? All right, well, I want to hear your
make them slaves
your ideas
well.
Of that. But you know what's funny is the legitimate plan for the future that the people in power currently have is actually worse than that, because they want AI to do all the work and they just want to kill all the humans. Like, slavery is actually the preferable.
Slavery is better.
Debatably.
Slavery is better. And I wouldn't get us into any wars either. Like, these foreign wars are stupid. Like, what are we doing here? Like, it's simple. Hey, look, Israel, you can't be bombing your enemies or attacking your enemies. You have to have, answer the Palestine question. Once you answer the Palestine question, the rest of the Middle East is going to be fine. You either do a one-state solution, bring all the Palestinians in, one passport, or else, we're just not going to support you anymore, and then you're going to get destroyed anyway. What do you want to do? Once we handle that problem, then we go over to the Iranians. All right, cool. We want gas at $1 a gallon. We're going to go ahead and do diplomacy with you guys. Let's end this war. It's stupid. But the problem is that since we can't do real diplomacy because the Israelis are holding us back, because they're going to keep attacking.
Yeah.
And then we bring slaves over on our side domestically. Retards are going to become slaves. Women back in the kitchen. Repeal the 19th Amendment. 8 p.m. curfew. Oh, also another thing. They cannot use Instagram or TikTok anymore. If they try to, it shocks their hands.
Interesting.
Yes. If they try to open up TikTok or any of that. And then I'm going to have state TV. We're also going to bring torturing back, the Waterboard Nigga Network, where if you do a heinous crime like that weirdo that killed, what's her name? On the train.
Arena Zaruska.
They killed Arena. Rest in peace to her. Like that weirdo, we torture him on camera.
Yeah, see, so that's what, I'm not endorsing your policies. I think maybe there's some nuance that needs to be, but in theory, I mean, I like the direction that you're going.
Waterboard them.
But this is the thing. It's like, yes.
All the biggest criminals, we waterboard them. You kill kids, you rape kids, you do any of that stuff, we're going to waterboard you on camera. Or, you know, we'll let the victim's family decide the torture method.
Yeah, I'm legitimately, like, not opposed to that. Because right now, like, the thing is, we have a justice system set up because we recognize that it's the preferable system. It's not because, like, we need it, yeah. Right? In the absence of a justice system, we'd probably be more capable of getting justice against somebody like Arena Zarutska's killer, because the community would grab him and hang him from a tree, and it'd be done, and it'd be over, and that afternoon we'd all, you know.
I think with criminals like that, you can't kill them. You gotta torture them so that, cause here's the thing with criminals, like serial killers and these weirdos, like they like get off on having power over people and like torturing them and like, you know, killing them and then letting them come back or like letting them pass out. You gotta do the same thing to them. You gotta make them feel that terror, with everybody watching on 4K TV.
Have we talked about this before? Cause I think we should bring back public flogging.
You know, we did get to talk about it a little bit. We didn't get to finish. I agree with you that we need to bring back public flogging and torture and all that other stuff too.
And like you say that, and it sounds crazy, but if you really think about it,
it's a big deterrent.
It's a huge deterrent. And like you're saying, like a lot of these people, especially, you know,
they get off on having power. So when you remove that power from
them,
like all these serial killers, they like to strangle and they like to make it intimate and like make them feel like they can play God. All right, cool. We're going to make you feel the same terror that you did to your victim.
Or just like people in the ghetto, you know, it's no different to them living in the prison or in the, you know, and it's actually kind of a badge of honor. Like, yeah, I've been to prison. You're not hard unless you go to prison. Yeah. So it's like, are you going to be hard when you're like stripped down and your bare ass is being whipped by an old white guy? That's very humiliating.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
So it'd actually be more of a deterrent than prison would.
That'll be hilarious.
Right?
That'll be hilarious.
And look, hey, people think I'm like advocating something brutal here. If it was up to you, would you rather spend 10 years in a concrete box or take, you know, 10 lashes on your back? I would choose the lashing, I think. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, and like I said, it would be based on the severity of the crime, but I do think that torture is the way to go, man, with a lot of these crooks.
I mean,
deterrent perspective.
Again, that might sound extreme to some people, but then you look at the way our justice system currently resolves, and like what we're pointing out here is like
that guy should have never been out of jail.
That guy should have never been out of jail.
Stab her in the neck like that. That was horrible.
I have like four videos like this where people have like 55 convictions and they're out there strangling another woman, and it's just like, all right, the system is broken. And I know people say that a lot, but like legitimately,
it
is now counterproductive because we could achieve justice more easily. Of course, the problem
especially at the state level.
Well, the local level. Yeah. Just like, that's the thing. We have this system of justice that's supposed to be better than vengeance. It's supposed to, you know, take the place of that and do it through a systematic way so that it doesn't spiral out of control and cause, you know, a back and forth cycle of violence. It's obviously preferable, but not if the criminals get let out over and over and over and over again. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's, and the thing is there's no incentive for them to stop because it's like, I'm just going to get off again and, you know, with a slap on the wrist or whatever. And a lot of these state systems are so super backed up, at least with the feds. Like if they get convicted, they're going to do 80 to 90% of the time. You know, feds typically don't lose, but a lot of, you know, prosecutors at the federal level don't, they have the leisure of like not taking every single case. And these state courts are very bogged down, you know, and they handle some of the most serious crimes like murder one, murder two, et cetera. Like you need some type of federal nexus for the feds to take murder, right? It's, you got to kill a federal officer and affect interstate commerce, et cetera. So these state courts and these state prosecutors are overworked. They have too many cases. The state judges, same thing. And then you got a lot of bleeding hearts that like just don't want to go ahead and make these guys actually pay the cost to, you know, for the crime. So there's so many issues that we have here, but I do think torturing these criminals would be the way to do it.
Yeah. Or
most heinous offenses, of course.
I actually don't think that's actually all that crazy, especially when you look at the way in which people with 55, you know, and of course it's anarcho-tyranny, right? It would actually be fine if we just didn't have a system and we could just take care of things ourselves. Like somebody breaks into my house, I just bury him in the backyard, problem solved. Like that's not an issue. Or even if, you know, if we had tyranny, if we had any of the benefits of tyranny, that sort of thing. We have all of the negatives of tyranny. We have the, like, you know, oppressive, you know, speech laws where you'll be canceled if you say certain things. We've got all the crappy stuff
about
tyranny.
Women in power.
we can debate that, but typically tyranny would come with a trade-off. It would be, hey, I'm going to be in charge, but in return, you're going to get safety. We don't have either.
Yeah.
So we have tyranny, but none of the ostensible benefits.
What's supposed to come alongside. Exactly. No, it's ridiculous.
It's absolutely infuriating.
At least we got the Second Amendment. Could be worse. It could be like Canada or England.
Yeah, that's true. And look at the way Ireland is going right now. I mean, I think we should be running guns to those people.
Yeah, it's cool.
In all seriousness.
Yeah, the IRA can't do it anymore.
So here's something interesting, because you talk a lot about women and you talk a lot about geopolitics. And I see sort of a through line through both of these things.
Yeah.
Because often I'm obviously very against the Iran war. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Agreed.
I also am
biggest
not.
Biggest mistake ever.
That's what I've been calling. I've literally been, since day one, I've been saying this
so
is
bad,
the biggest mistake anybody's ever made.
So,
and I'm not even
so
exaggerating.
Because I've been keeping up with the war like at a very, you know, autistic level.
Right.
And it's just, as I'm sure you have, well, I've seen you on Twitter as well talking about it. Dude, it's just been one of the biggest L's. You got the Epstein blunder, and now you got this war, which we're losing strategically, right? Hegseth and Kane are going on the Pentagon every couple days. Oh, well, we're winning this war. We're blowing them up. We're destroying them militarily. Who cares? The Strait of Hormuz is closed. Brent is sitting at like $120 a barrel right now, dude. Like, what are we talking about? It was like at 119 I saw yesterday. I don't know what it is right now at this moment. But, you know, we're over $100 for a barrel of oil. People are paying double to fill their tank. This is crazy. Like,
well,
Trump ran on no new wars and affordability, and it's completely betrayed that.
That's our fault. That's the podcaster's fault. That's the woke Reich, which we are prominent members. Obviously, that's our fault. When people are filling up at the gas, you know, station, and they're seeing those numbers tick up, they're thinking, those podcasters,
they told us
talking
to
about this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it could have been Kamala Harris, which is a woman, so we didn't have a choice.
We didn't have a choice.
We were
screwed either way. We are screwed coming and going. It's unfortunate, but sort of true. Man, there's a lot of stuff to get into with Iran. But
sure.
But I want to connect this to the women thing too, because I have a lot of people when I talk about not wanting to be at war with Iran, they go, "Don't you know Muslims are at war with us? And this is you must be on the side of the Muslims." And my response is always, "Let's say I completely am on your side. Like, let's say I'm on the side of the neocons, and I'm like, Muslims are the biggest threat. We have to stop them."
Yeah.
Every war in the Middle East has led directly to an influx of Muslims into Europe and America, and a gain in their power. So it's like the end is misaligned with the means. And I feel the same thing with women. Like, I have just a few numbers, and you could have pages of this stuff, but it's stuff like female suicide rate up 50% since 2000. Antidepressant use up 250% since 1990. Single motherhood up 700% since 1960. So tell me if I'm being too schizophrenic here, but I see a similarity where it's like, no, if you actually want this positive outcome, you need to do this conservative stuff. And the liberals come along and say, you must hate women and love Muslims. And it's like, there's a disconnect between the intent and the outcome. And for some reason, people cannot bridge that gap. Is it coming across?
No. You're 100% right. Because here's the problem. These women get into power and they vote more mass immigration.
Right.
And then we destroy these places and these people need a place to go.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny because we destroy these places on behalf of Israel. Israel ain't taking them in.
No,
we
of course
are.
Not.
The UK is taking them in. The United States is taking them in. Canada's taking them in, etc. And it's like, if we don't destroy their countries, they can stay in their countries.
Right.
Right? And it's like, it's interesting because like the people that push us to destroy these countries so much don't take any of them in whatsoever.
Yep.
So, you know, and then And then these very women that you're talking about that don't want to have kids that, you know, are, have high depression rates, et cetera, they're the ones pushing for the mass immigration.
Yep.
So it's just an L in every single way. And, you know, and this, and when it comes to this war, you know, in this conflict, you know, the whole, and here's the thing, you can hate Muslims all the time. I make jokes on them all the time and I say they're retarded. Even though I'm Muslim, they pray at Times Square, I say they're retarded go fuckers. Like, you know, I make fun of them too. They hate me as well. It is what it is. But we have to be very honest here and understand that it is not Islam that is the problem. It is a lot of propaganda pushed by the Jews to sit there and say, look, see, these guys are evil. They're demonizing. But let's be honest here. I would argue radical Judaism is worse than radical Islam. Why? Because you got radical Jews in power. You got people like Randy Fine that support Israel, that are Israel firsters. They support people like Ben Gavir, Smoltrich, etc. Yep. These guys are radical Jews that want to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is a big thing that led to October 7th.
Right.
And once you actually like figure out Middle Eastern foreign policy, what's going on over there, whatever, Israel is run by radical Jews that are way worse. They want to talk about the clerics of Iran versus the people that run Iran versus the people that run Israel. Let's do some numbers. On October 7th, roughly, what, 1,200 people were killed, allegedly? We know roughly 400 of those people were IDF. So, but let's round it up. Let's say 1,000 were killed, right, Israelis. Let's say they're all civilians, even though the Hannibal Directive was activated. Me and you know this.
Yes, yes.
But for the normies out there, let's say 1,000 were killed, right? During a 12-day war, Israel killed roughly 1,000 people in Iran. Well, how did Israel respond versus how Iran responded? Iran responded by having a ceasefire and doing a symbolic strike back on El Udeid base and letting the United States know that they're going to bomb them while also attacking Israel back and retaliating. How did Israel respond? Genocide and invading seven different countries, right?
Right.
Or bombing seven different countries. I would argue, as much as people want to sit the propaganda and say, radical Muslims. Well, the Iranians were far more measured and rational than the Israelis were when they lost 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And the numbers don't lie. Look at how they retaliated. So we have to be very honest with ourselves and understand that this is a country that's occupied by Zionist Jews who the government of Israel is run by far-right, crazy radical Jews that want to destroy the mosque, start wars, continue wars, and, you know, they say they're God's chosen people. And when you have that mindset, you're just going to blow up and kill everybody, like what they're doing in Lebanon, displace a million plus people, do a genocide in Gaza, which every single genocide expert has agreed to include Jewish ones, that what went down in Gaza is a genocide. But then they'll sit there and tell you, it's not a genocide. Okay, bro, and it was a 6 million. So
yeah, but that's the thing. It's like they want to quibble over like the definition of genocide. It's like you are clearly deliberately eradicating an entire group of people. Like yep. Who cares what the particular
or in part. And they keep forgetting that in part as well right. is a part of that.
So. No, and there's so much to the UN definition of genocide, depending on what you want to go on. But you only need to fulfill one of the five prerequisites, and they've fulfilled all five. So it's ridiculous for anybody to argue otherwise. And yeah, that's the thing, especially with the Iran war. It's like all of this debate between like, well, what are we intending to do and what's going to be the main outcome and what was the purpose of this and how long did it take? And to me, it's like, guys, this is all on purpose. They want Iran to be a failed state. They want war to never end there. They want the Strait of Hormuz to be shut down because they want the rationing to take place because they want to implement the Mark of the Beast. Like, yeah. We don't need to debate like the nuclear weapons versus opening the Strait versus this is the plan. The plan is total collapse. The plan is destroy America by using it against Iran. This seems so obvious to me. I cannot handle like debating the cover story anymore.
Yeah,
that's
how it feels. I debated Dinesh D'Souza on this topic with the war. And, you know, it's kind of funny because he used like all the Hezbollah talking points. And it's like, dude, it's very simple. The Israelis, all they care about is destabilization across the entire region, right? They want another Syria and Iran.
Yep.
And they tried with Scott Bessent crashing to Rio. That failed. Then they did the protests. That failed. We tried to smuggle in the Starlinks. That failed. We tried to smuggle guns in there. That failed. And then, you know, we're bombing the hell out of them. We're winning militarily. And then Trump says stupid stuff like, oh yeah, we're going to go ahead and bomb them into the Stone Age and a civilization might die and we're going to do power plant day. Well, all the Iranians that you might have had on your side, now they're going to side with the government.
Of course.
Now they're rallying around the flag. I saw so many videos where they bomb somewhere and the people are out there protesting and they're like, yeah, well, Akbar. Like these people are saying, praise God as we bomb them. So it's like, these people are different and they're going to rally around the flag and they are rallying around the flag and they went ahead and they like, when Trump said that he was going to bomb the power plants, they were standing at the power plants with the flag saying, if you're going to blow up these power plants, you're going to blow us up too. These people
Trump said, you can't do that. He's like, yeah, that's not allowed. Yeah. Like what?
Yeah.
So you want to destroy the power plants so they die slowly, but they're not allowed to put themselves
exactly.
in the way and die
on the
quickly.
Bridges and all the infrastructure. So it's like, you know, we've emboldened them even more to stand behind their government. The people that would have maybe rebelled, They're not with us anymore. So this war serves zero strategic benefit. Americans are paying for it. Brent is sitting at, when I looked yesterday, almost $120 a barrel, which is horrible.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's only getting worse. And the fertilizer, you know, being restricted,
yes.
That's
Australia
going.
Australia has a food crisis right now.
Yeah. And it's going to get worse. Like, there's no end in sight for this. And of course, China's not going to suffer from it because they get, their fertilizer from their urea for their fertilizer from coal.
They're still getting oil from Iran.
Which they have plenty of. So yep. It's like.
Russia's making money hand over fist because yep. We had to lift the sanctions. So it's like, and then, oh, we got this blockade in the Persian Gulf. We're stopping them from making money. Number one, dozens of ships are making it through. The blockade can't stop everyone. And the Iranians are making a bunch of money from that. Also, people forget Caspian Sea. Anybody?
Right.
Like all these people on, you know, on Fox News, like, oh, yo, do you guys not look at the map? Like the Iranians are still getting an enormous amount of support from the Russians on the Caspian Sea, and we have zero oversights on that whatsoever. Yep. That's why the foreign minister Aragachi was up in Russia meeting with Putin. That was absolutely a demonstration of, look, we stand with Iran. We're going to support Iran. So. Our enemies have become stronger.
Right.
Yes, Iran has been hurt militarily, but they're still able to attack, which is the whole problem.
No, and it's the same thing that happened with Ukraine, where, you know, I guess ostensibly we went to weaken Russia, but all that happened was Russia and China are now best buddies. And it's like, okay, if our main geopolitical rival is China and we foresee basically an ultimate conflict with them, would you not want a European nation of Christians that like basically surrounds all of China? Would you not want them to be our friends, but we force them into the hands of China? And I do not believe it's because of incompetence. I cannot believe that the people who run America are so stupid that they're driving Russia into China's hands and then empowering China through shutting the strait. I mean, this is all on purpose, right?
And you know, the other thing that kills me too is we are ruining our relationship in the Gulf as well. So
right.
Like all these Gulf countries are getting bombed and destroyed. Tourism is down. Real estate is down in UAE, especially the UAE has been getting hit with like 2,000 different strikes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they left OPEC.
Yep.
People are like, oh, that's good. That's like a W, blah, blah, blah. No, sir. This signifies what I've been talking about. The petrodollar is going to go down. And that is a big part of the reason why we have so much prosperity, because people do deals in oil in U.S. dollars.
Right.
And, you know, and here's the other thing. Our bases are destroyed. They finally
yep.
reported in mainstream media that all 11 or 12 or so of our military bases are gone. There's no way they're going to let us rebuild them because we're not going to do the regime change. If we don't do the regime change, Iran is going to be free to attack those bases. And they said, if you can rebuild those bases, we're going to continue to bomb you. So there's no way any of these Gulf states are going to let us rebuild the bases. So we've lost our footing in the region now. We are going to have to back out and leave at some point. That fills the void for who? Russia or China might be the protection, or even Iran themselves. You know, Robert Pape, who studies this stuff, he said something really intelligent, which I thought was good. He wrote a fantastic article about this in the New York Times, that Iran might rise out of this as like the fourth world power. And I'm like, you know what? They can, because all they got to do is hang on.
Yeah.
Right? If they can just hang on. Now they're going to be the power in the region, and then they're aligned with our enemies, with Russia and China. And then this is going to continue to lead to the de-dollarization, and, you know, we lose our reserve currency status. We're cooked.
Yeah. Right? And of course, Europe is probably the place suffering most from all this because of all the stuff. Well, in Australia
they
as well.
LNG.
So, yeah.
Natural gas, 20%, which the whole sanctions of Europe, right, all the sanctions against Russia were based upon Qatar giving them their energy with natural gas. And they had to lift those sanctions because Iran blew up LNG, which was Qatar's, like, which 20% of the world's natural gas. So it's like, dude, it's like cooked.
Yeah. And I don't think it's an accident. I think it's because the people that got us into this are destroying America and hate Europe. And it's like, these are the places that are suffering because of this. And by the way, because they destroyed all of our bases, now it's raining in Iran again. Have you looked into that?
Yeah.
The weather weapons? I mean, I think it's real. I think it's totally real. They've been in a drought for like 10 years.
Yeah.
I got stories from all the way back. Ahmadinejad in 2012 is going, hey, Israel is destroying our rain clouds and not letting us get rain. They destroy all the radar bases, and now there's this massive like flooding in Iran, and they're getting, you know, rain that they, like 100 years worth of rain.
And keep in mind, even with the drought, a lot of people don't know this. Iran was like the breadbasket of the Middle East.
Right.
And they're self-sufficient with food, like 80%. They make 80% of their own food. So now they're going to be able to make even more. So it's like, strategically, this is such a L. It's incredible. And the mainstream media, like when I watch Fox News.
Hold on, we'll be right back. We got to go to a commercial break. Okay. We'll be right back.
The bad guys all over the world, the EU, NATO, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Democrat Party, they all recognize InfoWars and its history. Since 1997, when I started the website using that name, as being probably the most devastating weapon of truth against them. And that's why they've tirelessly attacked us, censored us, and tried to shut us down. but because you stood with us as modern Paul Revere's, as true InfoWarriors, we've not only stayed on air, but we've become more effective and reached even more people, not just here, but around the world. This is 1776 Worldwide. Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. We also have a new line promoting the 250th anniversary of the American Republic, about to show you in a moment. But these are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. Again, we the people, that means you and I, literally are the InfoWars. We are the eyes and ears on the ground. We are the people engaged in the fight to awaken humanity and seeing giant successes. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Dozens of new limited edition shirts in the 1776 line and hats. I love this one. InfoWars. All gut, no quit. Remember all the times the last few years where they had the fake auctions and raided us and turned the electricity off and got overturned in court? Oh, we're still battling. We wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for your fight. I'm the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. And that's who we are. So you want to get this camo classic InfoWars shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. A lot of these new shirts and hats are totally new designs, but a lot of them are classics, but limited edition with 1776 on the shoulder. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. And there's not just the new InfoWars 1776 line of hats. There's things like this bad boy, just real clean, classic Americana USA. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And this is just a small sampling of the designs at thealexjonesstore.com. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you all for your past support. And just let you know, it's up to you whether this continues on. The InfoWar lives on through you. I suggest you get some of these classic designs while you still can, because in the future, if they get shut this down, we're going to have big problems selling InfoWars named apparel. Could be your last chance to get it. Thanks for your support. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of the true heart of America and the resistance against the globalists. God bless you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with Myron Gaines. But I got to tell y'all, folks, it is the last episode we'll be doing out of these studios. It is a bittersweet time for us, but the good news is we will be continuing our operations just under a different banner. The Alex Jones Network and alexjoneslive.com is how you find us. Go to X and follow at AJNLive to find us. We will be starting the show, just like always, tomorrow, 11 a.m., Alex Jones Show, The War Room at 3 p.m. We will be running the same schedule. Things will be shifting up and, you know, reconfiguring a little bit in the future, but just know that the mission goes on. The whole crew is coming with us, and we're going to have brand new sparkling studios, and I've actually been looking forward to this for a very long time because it's just been interminable, but today is the last day, and you have a couple hours. In fact, I know InfoWars.com has a countdown. Let's find out exactly how long we have, because there's mere hours to go while you can still get InfoWars branded merchandise, official branded InfoWars merchandise from thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. 8 hours left to get InfoWars branded merchandise. A lot of them are on sale. It's all 20% off, and it is literally your last chance. So even if you're just buying it to shove it in a closet and sell it on eBay in 50 years, I think that's a solid investment, because as of 9 hours and 25 minutes from now, it will be a historical, item. I'm kind of confused. There's two different countdowns. One must be central time. One must be, but 12 a.m. central time is when we'll be going down. So I think it's 8.5 hours here. But yes, please do support us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And of course, everything that you spend at TheAlexJonesStore.com goes directly back into this mission, as it always has. And we'll be getting bigger and better as time goes on. And in fact, with that, well, tell me if you guys have the video list in, because we can go to clip 32 here, the Patriot versus the Onion. This is what happened last night in court. Can we go to clip 32, guys? Red, white, blue, running through my veins. That's right. Madison Square Garden. It was the Despicable Onion versus Team America, the Patriot. And, yeah, they've been humiliated once again. They've been shown to be criminal fraudsters once again. The Onion is not buying InfoWars. And really, the thing that pisses me off the most is it's probably just confusing people now, because The Onion's not buying us, but we are still shutting down. So it'd be nice if we could have just, you know, gone through this without a bunch of dumbasses from L.A. intervening and lying to everybody and confusing everybody, but that was probably the point. It means we should probably sue them, since they actually did the thing they accused us of, which is spread fake news for the purpose of hurting innocent people. So no, The Onion will not be buying us, but we will be going down tonight, and tell your friends, share the links, and celebrate with us as we move on to our next stage. With that, once again, Myron Gaines is in studio with me. You can follow him on X at Myron Gaines X, and on Kick as well, Myron Gaines X. And you have a book too, I saw. What's the name of your new book?
It's called Why Women Deserve Less. Or, well, even less, because they do deserve even less. So I got a copy of it here. Yeah, Why Women Deserve Even Less. Book number one was Why Women Deserve Less. Then I realized, man, they deserve even less now. That's book number two. And book three is, we're working on it, Why Women Deserve Nothing. And then another book is coming out, The Jews and Their Lies. That's going to come out on September 11th.
Okay.
Yeah. Rosh Hana, or whatever their holiday is.
On Rosh Hashanah, okay. Rosh Hashanah. Oh, what a way to celebrate.
Yeah.
They'll be bombing Iran, I'm sure.
They probably will be.
As they like to do.
Yeah.
Which is one of those things, you know, it's so funny, and there's a lot of stuff like this in the Iran war, where it's like, they write articles that are like, bombing Iran, starting this war with Iran on Purim was a brilliant example of, you know, our living, you know, history and religion. And so you point to it and you go, oh, so they started a war as like a religious celebration, and people go, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you say that? Or like, you know, you can, Netanyahu gets up and goes, we are waging this war to bring about the Messiah, and we will be building the third temple. And you go, these jackasses are trying to build the third temple and bring about the Antichrist. And people go, you're crazy. Why would you say that? You have these crazy ideas. It's just, it's bizarre that like,
it's true.
You're just repeating what they're saying, but you're the crazy one. Yeah. No, they're the crazy one, y'all.
And it's, you know, and they do everything in their power to like kind of keep this information from the public. Dude, they imported five red cows.
I know.
Texas. And it's like, you know, that's a big reason why October 7th happened. Like, people don't realize like Hamas's operation was called Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, because they wanted to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and they imported these red cows. And now the Abraham Accords, the red cows, the 10,000 Palestinian prisoners that are being held in Israel with like no charge, or not being held, or just being held indefinitely. Like, there's a multitude of reasons why. Now, again, I'm not sitting here justifying it, but I do think it's important that the public understands why these things are happening. And we've done everything in our power to like not tell the public what went down. And this is why they actually shut down TikTok, because TikTok explained why October 7th happened, what's been going on, the brutal occupation. And people are waking up, man. That's why Larry Ellison had to buy it. And now they're like censoring anything that is critical of Israel.
Yeah, well, they're buying up everything, and they're doing it, you know, out in the open. And so this isn't clandestine. They're literally going, no, we're going to buy it so we can silence people talking about Israel. And you know,
that made a new rule too. Zionists now protect the term.
Right. Well, and that is one of their main sort of pillars, is that is a key connection, is that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. They demand that social media companies treat it that way, which is, it's just obvious for a number of reasons, right? Israel does something evil. People get mad at Israel. They transmute that into anti-Semitism. Go look, oh my God, anti-Semitism is rising. We need more money. We need more protection. We need more laws written to stop people talking about us.
Yep.
It's a very convenient feedback loop. The worse Israel acts, the better it is for Jews here in America.
Exactly.
Very convenient.
And they use it to justify, you know, purchasing these, like TikTok for a long time. Like, they were trying to shut down TikTok back in 2020 saying it was Chinese spy stuff. And it wasn't until, you know, people started talking about the letter to, the Bin Laden letter went viral.
Mm-hmm.
People were talking about, you know, Israel being a genocidal apartheid, blah, 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 all this other stuff. Cause TikTok is dominated by liberals. So, after all that happened, then they're like, oh, we need to, like, buy this thing. And then bam, they went ahead and they, Larry Ellison went ahead and purchased it. And then one of the first things they did was get rid of the watermelon emoji and get rid of the, you know, from the river to the sea. They got rid of the Free Palestine. They got rid of, they made Zionists a protected term. And, you know, it is what it is. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. And again, they admit it. We've got the videos of, you know, former Obama speechwriter, you know, big person up in Zionist circles. And she's going, you know, I try to talk to young people about why we need to do what we're doing in Gaza. And they don't hear me because they're seeing me through a wall of dead children. And it's like, yeah, you crazy bitch. Like, it sort of ruins your whole we're the light of the world thing when, like, there's evidence of a ongoing genocide every single day on my phone. Yeah, it's that's the truth, actually, and we're trying to hide it so you can lie to us more. So
Twitter and TikTok exposed it, and you know, and then people started doing their research and figuring out the conflict. They were like, oh, well, this is crazy, and that's like what red-pilled everybody on this topic.
Because
I remember before 2023, before the war, if you even talked about Israel or Zionism, you'd get banned.
Yeah,
you'd be cooked. Like, you mentioned that stuff on, like, you know, any of these mainstream platforms, YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, you'd get cooked as a Hitler, you know, supporter, anti-Semitism. But now it's like even normies are kind of aware and waking up to it, which is a good thing.
It really is a great thing. And like I've basically always had the same position on Israel since I was like 12, because my best friend was Lebanese and would explain things from the Lebanese perspective. So it was like, okay,
Arabs
are
red pilled on this topic, like from birth, dude.
Yeah. Well, especially to them, you know, it's like, it's not some, you know, speculative metaphysical thing where it's like this class of people, the Jews, and who are they and where are they? It's not, it's like, no, it's those guys in the uniforms with the stars on them shooting the bullets at us. Those are the guys we're fighting. So it's very just like real and tangible, and it's not
Lebanon
vague
has a lot of Christians.
Almost half
of Lebanon is Christian. So like
it was majority Christian until the 1980s.
I believe that.
I believe that.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think they might have something on the books where the head of the military or something has to be a Christian.
It's a multi-faith republic. So there's three heads of government. I don't know the exact breakdown, but it's like the prime minister, the president, and the minister of defense or whatever. One Shia, one Sunni, and one is Christian always.
Which is you know, important for the people to understand, because people think Lebanon like, oh, crazy radical Muslims. Like, no, dude, it's a very large Christian population. And, you know, they still bomb. Like, Hezbollah was created because of Israel in the 1980s, right?
Yeah,
and they got the Dahiyat Doctrine, which is an area in Lebanon where it's like, we're going to just bomb and kill civilian people. And that's what they do to create pressure. So, you know, once you figure out like the dark history of Israel, there's no way that you can support it. This is why, like, only, you know, moronic Zionists support Israel. Like, and the worst part is the United States, we tie ourselves to these people and then we wonder why everyone in the Middle East hates us.
Right.
If we solve the Palestine question, right, well, everything else kind of just falls into place.
So I've got two awesome videos to go along with exactly the things we're talking about. The first one is a former TikTok executive named Liban Muhammad talking about the Zionist lobby pressure. This is clip number 11. And then I want to play, have you seen the new Lego video out of Iran?
I've seen a couple of them. I don't know if I've seen the newest one, but let's do it.
The latest one aligns exactly with what you just said. So we'll return to that. The fact that people in the Middle East only don't like America because of our relationship with Israel. And people don't realize that. They think they're like, oh, they just hate us and always have. Talk to people from the Middle East. They're like, we would love America if you'd stop bombing us and killing us. Like, you guys are awesome. We actually are very aligned in a lot of ways. But let's begin with clip 11. Here. This is a former TikTok executive talking about the time before the takeover by Larry Ellison and Israel. Let's watch.
Quick question. So the pressure was unbelievable. Words cannot describe the amount of pressure that existed, and it became the number one headwind for the company that could result in the lack of its existence in the largest consumer market in the entire world. We were getting inbound inquiries. And this is public information. You could see a lot of these letters online. I mean, every few days, every other day, from pro-Israeli lobbying organizations, from pro-Israel perspective legislators, and the company was just being inundated. But what was really interesting is the lack of questions and investigations and inquiries coming from the pro-Palestinian perspective.
Yeah, so there, that was a, you know, former TikTok executive basically saying the pressure was unrelenting and overwhelming and continuous. And this is the strategy, right? Letters from legislators, letters from important people in industry. I mean, they will bombard you until you give in, and or until they force, you know, until America writes a law to force your company
to
be sold.
They have the influence and the power to either make your life very difficult or bankrupt you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and cancel you and everything. I've always said, like, you know, censorship is Jewish. And a lot of the times it is, right, if you look at it.
It's definitely the number one source of the censorship coming around right now. Absolutely.
Yeah. You look at, like, the ADL, Media Matters, SPLC, they have quite a bit of Jewish representation. And who do they always go after? People that are critical of Israel, you know, people that, that they call Nazis or whatever. Which, you know, that's only on Saturdays. But it's like that. Like, you know, it's like, the other 6 days I'm not a Nazi. So it's like, come on.
Leave me alone on those days. Well, yeah, you would think that would work because on Saturdays they're, well, whatever.
That's why I do it on that day.
Yeah, I know.
They shouldn't be doing nothing.
That's what I think their real secret is. I think the whole secret of the Jews is that they start the week a day before we do. They get an extra day every week to get a head start. Yeah. You repeat that for a millennia, you're going to do better than everybody else.
We're going to do better. Yeah.
It's like waking up early. You know, they wake up an hour earlier than everybody else. Of course you're going to do better. We're joking. Of course.
The early bird gets the worm, right? Or the early Jew gets the worm. And canceled.
Dang it.
Lights are going to go off here soon.
Well, but, and this is the thing. It's like, we kind of have to. As Americans, it's like you tell me I can't say something. I didn't even want to say it. Now I have to.
Now I have to say it.
Now you're making me.
So don't be like England.
Yeah, well, except, I mean, thank God we're not England. They're
cool.
God, they're way down the line. But that's a good thing to look at to go, hey, this is where we're headed.
Yeah, we are.
You look at England if you want to talk about free speech. You can look at South Africa if you want to talk about that. I mean, it's like there are places that are farther down the road than we are. We can see it. Let's use our conscious ability to change the trajectory of our lives.
So we don't be like them.
So we aren't like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see people get arrested all the time in England. It's like, oh,
nuts.
You're arresting me for a Facebook post. Yeah, they are. Like, what's going on here, man?
Yeah. They're pulling people off the street just for reading out of the Bible. I mean, and of course the somewhat infuriating thing to me is that there was recently a terrorist attack against Jewish people or a stabbing against Jewish people in the UK. Nobody
That's
died.
Not for the rest of us.
Right.
Like, you cannot use violence, dude. We got the truth on our side. I try to tell people this all the time. We got the truth on our side. Just talk, debate, right? Like, no violence.
Well,
okay. No violence, guys.
And to me, no hatred either. I think there's this deliberate feedback loop where it's like they act so insane that it makes other people go, okay, you're killing everybody? Then we should kill everybody. And it's like, guys. You've lost. You have now just lost. You have lost the moral high ground. You have lost the purpose of what you were doing in the first place.
Yeah.
Because aren't you doing this because you're so outraged at the killing of innocents, but now you're advocating for it? Doesn't make any sense. Love is literally the only thing that can defeat this. As cheesy as that sounds, that's literally.
I've always said this. Like, if you have the truth on your side, there's no need for violence.
Yeah.
Right? So we are right. We are not wrong. We are right. But when you go ahead and you do acts of violence, you forfeit the moral high ground, you forfeit everything. And then now you go to jail and you can't, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to be around a bunch of Jamals. You can't talk now. Good job.
You know, it's so funny. I literally am like explaining this to my son because he's been getting in fights at school and I'm explaining to him. I'm like, all right, you have a balance of who is right. And when somebody calls you names, they go down and you're above them. But when you hit them, you go down. Even though they called you names, you're now lower than them.
Yeah.
So now my son will go, you know, I'm higher right now, Dad. I'm like, good.
Don't
punch people just for calling you names. They're trying to make you mad.
Self-defense is one thing, but starting it, like, don't do it, man.
Right. You lose the moral high ground. And it's like, you were right until you...
Especially on this topic. Because then what are they going to do? The violence. It's a blood, it's a blood libel.
A blood libel, yeah.
That's what
of
they
course.
Always use.
But this is the crazy thing, is after, two Jewish people are stabbed in the UK, you get headlines like, scared and angry British Jews demand more from government after knife attack. UK raises threat level to severe after London anti-Semitic attack. You've got, you know, rabbis, you know, giving speeches about this, and it just goes on and on. Meanwhile, you know, you get a group of, white British girls stabbed, and it's, you're under arrest for talking about it.
Yeah.
Zoomer historian wrote this on X. 1 million British girls raped, thousands of our people murdered, millions of our people terrified to go outside, entire cities ethnically replaced, dozens of terror attacks. The response is, don't look back in anger. Yeah. Don't look back in anger. Sing a song. One foreign Jewish man gets murdered. Call in the SAS, right? Call in the special forces. We need all hands on deck. We're dissolving parliament, which they just did, by the way, which is, again, completely insane. Like that.
The number one way to fight mass immigration has been destroying the countries from which the mass immigration is coming.
It would be a great place to start. It would absolutely be a great place to start.
If you don't want these people coming into your country, which I agree, mass immigration is a problem. Even as a brown guy, I tell you guys, it's a problem. A lot of the times, they're not high IQ like me. They're going to come in and, you know, do a bunch of BS. You do not destroy the countries that they come from, because then they're going to want to come to your country. We create more refugees. Not, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And people say, well, Pete Hegseth said we're not accepting any refugees. It's like, guess who's going to be out of office in 3 years?
Yeah. And then they're going to ramp up the immigration again. Like, it's like, come on, dude. This is what Democrats do. Like, this is what they do.
Like, the Democrats are going to go, well, Hegseth said we couldn't.
Yeah, he's right.
So,
no more Browns. Oh, let's go ahead. Yeah. No, they're going to let them come in. And the fact that the border's closed, they're going to go even harder on immigration, dude.
I know. It's, and this is the thing about the Trump administration. They're just pissing off the left. They're doing nothing to tangibly weaken the left. They're only basically giving fuel to their fire.
And the thing about the left, which I will give them more credit than I'll give them credit for, they will protest, they'll go outside, they will demonstrate, they'll even enact violence, which isn't good. But the point is that what I'm trying to say is, like, they will do what they need to do.
Yeah.
Right? Because as conservatives, we're trying to conserve the status quo. They're progressives. They're trying to progress. So they're going to march. They're going to do acts of violence. They're going to do all the crazy stuff to make something happen. And, you know, they're already pissed off about ICE. You know what I mean? They're still mad crying about that and these No Kings protests. You know, and then, I don't know. I think Trump gets impeached, man. I think we're the closest we've ever seen to a president getting impeached. Like, you know, at least Bill Clinton, you know, he just got his dick sucked. Like, this one, this is bad. This is really bad. The Epstein file debacle, the war, you know, gas prices being up, affordability being down, affordability being worse.
Yeah. No, and they've stopped doing deportations, which it's like, has the ICE protest, has the fervor and the anger over ICE gone down? Absolutely not.
No, they're still pissed.
I was literally walking downtown this weekend and, you know, out of the club, I hear them chanting F ICE, F ICE. Yeah. And it's like, they aren't even doing anything anymore. But this is the thing with the left. You can't give them anything. They'll say to you, hey, you do this and we'll stop protesting. You do the thing and they keep protesting. Just
They'll find something to be mad about. Yeah. He should have never pulled out of Minneapolis. That was a bad move.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because he pulled out of Minneapolis like to kind of save the midterms. But then you go to war with Iran. Like,
I know.
Good job, buddy.
We're literally
like, now you've alienated
worse.
Your base. Like, because a lot of us voted. I know me and you. We didn't want no new wars.
Yeah.
We want wars, dude. Like, we were like
kind
no,
of my
like,
main thing, actually, yeah.
Yeah, like, because I knew a war with Iran would be catastrophic, but it's worse than I thought because the 12-day war actually strengthened them, surprisingly, they're like, oh, we're going to go ahead and just get with the Chinese and the Russians. That's why their ballistic missiles are, like, dangerously accurate now.
Yeah.
That's why we have 13-plus dead servicemen. And they're totally lying. There's way more than 13 dead servicemen. Well, we know 400 are injured, seriously injured. I think it's more than that. Way more.
Well, do you remember? I remember in the first few days, there would be like announcements in like New York newspapers that was like, this person who is deployed overseas, died of a sudden illness yesterday. And it's like, what? Yeah, they were like announcing deaths, but like blaming it on illness. It was really weird. And then they just stopped announcing those. So I think the count is a lot higher as well.
Yeah.
Once we're going to actually get right down to it. Which again, it's like, this is America changing into a country I don't recognize, where like, we're hiding casualty numbers, we're hiding, you know, enemy damage to our, radar arrays. I mean,
the bases,
we're killing the negotiators. It's like, the way that America is behaving on the world stage these days is un-American at its base.
Extremely un-American. And who are we now to point the, you know, oh, Russia, you can't invade Ukraine, just special military operation. Didn't we just do that? We just did the same. And I'd argue, hot take here. I think Putin has far more justification to invade Ukraine than 100%. We did with bombing Iran.
100%.
Like, way more. Like we've been lying about NATO expansion. We were setting up missiles there. We the Maidan Revolution. Like, we definitely instigated
that.
It was
a total setup.
So it's like, dude, like, Putin actually has like serious national security concerns with why he invaded. And for all the morons out there, like, why is it so bad? Like, that's like China going into Mexico, idiot. Like, right. We would be in Mexico the next day.
Yeah.
Like, that's the functional equivalent from the Putin side. Oh, well, you're a Putin stooge. No, it's not a Putin stooge. It's about understanding geopolitical affairs and knowing why people do things and like knowing the background. Once you know it, then you're like, oh, I can see why he did that. I don't have to agree with it or like it to understand why they did it.
God, I so wish we had more time. Cause I got videos that relate to everything
sure,
you're
sure,
saying.
I've been yapping, my bad.
We just don't have time to get to them. I wish we did, but I know Alex wants to get you back. So we'll be able to cover, you know, all this stuff, ad infinitum, but,
the former
Mossad agent who'd come out and basically said Israel has totally lost this war. We're just on the worst foot in every possible way. I think he's kind of BSing because I think, you know, that's the whole thing is appear weak when you're strong and appear
strong
when you're
weak. Is it the guy that wrote the book by deception or is it someone else?
I'm not sure about that one. It's Ehud Lavi. Let's go to clip 23 here. We'll go to this for a second. I'm going to have to read along. He says the intense war between the U.S. and Israel, or the U.S. and Israel against Iran lasted another 40 days. Iran has not yet been defeated. Was there anything that could have been done better to reach a quicker decision? When we look at the strategic objectives, this is the former Mossad head, whether it's regime change, whether it's the nuclear issue, the nuclear material that remained there, and during the war, the Hormuz issue suddenly emerged as well. You say that at least on the strategic level, at least for now, this has failed. We can take it down. But he's, you know, he's saying they failed completely. Israel is in a worse position than ever.
I don't know if people watch Israeli media. You guys should watch Israeli media. They actually are pretty honest on there.
Right.
They talk about all their plans openly.
They say some crazy stuff.
Israeli media is nuts.
It's different than the English language media that comes out of Israel.
They're honest. Absolutely. They're honest about their L's on there. They might wait a little bit, but they will like admit, yeah, we totally had Mossad operatives in Iran.
Right. Yeah. Like, they're totally open about it. Yeah. But to me, it's like, okay, taking him at his word, let's assume everything is worse for Israel now. Like, you probably should have listened to the anti-Semites. You know, it was us, the people that you call vicious anti-Semites that were sitting there going, hey, Israel, don't kill all of your neighbors. It's going to make everybody hate you. Hey, don't go to war with Iran. They're actually really strong and going to F you up. And we got called anti-Semites for that. If we'd been listened to, Israel would be in a much better position today. A little ironic, I think.
And people don't, me and you were talking about this before the break, but I'll say it real quickly. During the 12-day war, Israel got messed up pretty badly.
Right.
And then, on this next go around, now that they have, you know, Russian and, Chinese intelligence, the rockets were way more deadly this time around. Israel was getting cooked and during the 12-day war, since they got hit so hard, they're like, oh, we have to go back to war now. Like, these guys can actually attack us and hit us back hard because Iran for a very long time didn't really retaliate to Israel hard, like when they bombed the Damascus, when they killed Soleimani. Iran never
very
really retaliated
measured.
That hard.
Yeah.
They were very measured and kind of scared about, like, you know, getting the U.S. back into the war. But at the 12-day war, when they hit, because at that point, it was like, all right, dude, like, they did a sneak attack against us. They killed a bunch of generals. Like, Mossad operatives in here, you have to do something. The people are in the streets rioting. You need to do something. So when they hit Israel back during the 12-day war, and they weren't even that accurate, Israel was like, wow, this actually is hurting us. Because this is the first time Tel Aviv got hit. Like,
yeah.
So,
and you know, the Ayatollah sort of removed some restrictions after the 12-day war because, I know people think it's ridiculous, but like, no, actually look at the facts. Iran has been measured. They have been not the extremist in any of this. They have always had, in some ways, I think kind of too patient of a stance.
Way
like there are times
patient.
Where I'm like, what are they even doing? Like, wouldn't now be the time to go? But they don't go. They were very patient. They really wanted to avoid this and they've really been forced into it. And you can call me a Muslim simp or whatever for that, but it's literally just the facts.
It's the truth. And like every military analyst has said what you've basically said is like, this is just being honest here. Like, you know, when you look at the escalation ladder or whatever, Israel like had multiple acts of like war.
Yeah.
Like they bombed an embassy in Damascus.
Yep.
Like, and they killed several of the people there. And I know we're going to go into a break here.
So many, but dude, we could go on and on and on and we'll have to. So, I know you're sticking around. I think you're going to come on tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
You're
gonna be there. Yeah.
All right. Myron Gaines on X at Myron Gaines X. Also on Kick, Myron Gaines X, and your new book, Why Women Deserve Even Less.
Yes.
Where do people get this?
They get on Amazon.
Myron Gaines. Thanks so much for being with us.
Theory.
Excellent. Finally, some truth out there.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the InfoWar today by going to thealexjonesstore.com and picking up a bottle of zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Objection. A new AI-powered platform launched by Aaron D'Souza, the very lawyer who orchestrated Peter Thiel's decade-long legal demolition of Gawker Media. Backed by Thiel and Balaji Srinivasan, Objection lets anyone pay $2,000 to trigger a public investigation into any reporter or story.
Gawker has written an open letter to Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley billionaire who footed the bill for Hulk Hogan's lawsuit against the media company. A jury awarded the former pro wrestler, whose real name is Terry Bollea, $115 million after his sex tape appeared on the site. It was revealed Wednesday that Thiel had funded Hogan's lawsuit, and many believe it was because one of Gawker's blogs tried to out Thiel in late 2007 before he was open about his sexuality. Now Gawker has published an open letter to Thiel accusing the billionaire of seeking revenge. The letter reads in part, "Peter, this is twisted. Even were you to succeed in bankrupting Gawker Media, the writers you dislike, and me, just think what it will mean. You show yourself as a thin-skinned billionaire who, despite all the success and public recognition that a person could dream of, seethes over criticism and plots behind the scenes to tie up his opponents in litigation he can afford better than they."
Former FBI, NSA, and CIA officers do the legwork. A jury of AIs from OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, Mistral, and XAI deliver the verdict. An honor index score rates the journalist's integrity. It's all straight out of Orwell's 1984. It will absolutely destroy the organic hustle of exposing the awful truth.
I was hearing something that we killed kids in the
world.
Did we actually?
Well, there's been some collateral damage, yeah, for sure. They always die in war. Yeah.
Anonymous whistleblowers, often the lifeblood of Pulitzer Prize-winning journalism, well, they rank dead last. Say goodbye to the next Edward Snowden, Daniel Ellsberg, Deep Throat, Tyler Schultz. What once dragged through courts for 5 to 10 years now wraps in 72 hours under this AI monstrosity known as Objection. The paper trail of power dominates. Humans getting to the bottom of human sources who risk everything count the very least. Institutionalization of the counter-narrative always wins.
The idea was that we could never win an election on getting certain things because we were in such a small minority. But maybe you could actually unilaterally change the world without having to constantly convince people and beg people and plead with people who are never going to agree with you through a technological means. And this is where I think technology is this incredible alternative to politics.
So brace yourselves. Expect more Stop Nick Shirley bills in a state house near you.
How are you doing? What do you think about the Stop Nick Shirley Act, AB 2624?
I don't know anything about it.
And do you think there's any conflict of interest there with Mia Bonta and her husband being the AG? That just shows you everything you need to know. These people won't even answer the questions. AB 2624?
I think you're a psycho scam artist, so.
You think I have, please disclose how you think that.
Shiny new laws for taxpayer-funded buildings filled with lawyers designed to criminalize the act of noticing.
You said that I was stupid for asking you about your financial disclosure, but there's some discrepancies on there. Would you like to explain that? How did you make such a big mistake on?
I'm absolutely not stupid for asking me anything.
I am?
Yes.
Well, what about the American people who are wondering how you made such a big mistake?
I have explained to the American people.
What's the explanation?
I have given them the explanation.
Do you want to tell our viewers? Because
I don't want to tell you jack. Oh, how about that?
Go back to wherever you think you're from, all right?
Okay, so human
get
smuggling,
out of
yes
my
or no?
Face.
Human smuggling, yes or no?
Get out of
yes
my
no.
Face, you little fascist. Get out of my
I'm
face.
A little fascist.
I'm not, yes,
okay.
You are.
All right, well, okay, we'll go to, let's
get
go, let's
my
go to
face,
Padilla
you
then.
Fascist.
Okay, what about Padilla? Are you
get
saying what he did
face,
earlier was okay
fascist.
Going into-
The question isn't whether the old, tired, lying story survives. The real question is whether free inquiry, that frail, ridiculous, stubborn little human habit of asking, why? Can survive the crossfire of technocrats and tyrannical corporate swine.
I don't want to tell you jack.
Oh,
how about that?
Okay.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
John Bound joins me in studio this hour. Don't go anywhere, folks. The War Room returns in 90 seconds.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts. And they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on The War Room with live stream spiring on X and band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on Infowars.com for the last time. And joining me in studio for this monumentous event is John Bound. You can follow him on X at NewsBound, and that's B-O-W-N-E, or BoundReport.substack.com. I have your bio here, journalist, musician, human, InfoWars reporter. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, I am human.
You are human. This has been confirmed.
Yes.
You are not absolutely. Just a disembodied voice.
I'm not a reptilian.
That's right.
Although, you know, I have looked better. Yeah.
Well, okay, so how long have you worked at InfoWars? Just give us your take on like what's happened with InfoWars since you
I mean, we're in the room where when I first started working here, I think my desk was right there.
Oh yeah.
And everybody was in this room.
Right.
And we were all churning out, you know, at the time it was Obama, and it was you know, what really kind of one of the stepping stones of what woke me up was that Obama had signed the Smith Modernization Act in the dead of night. And, on top of everything else that he pulled off, that was the one that was kind of like, okay, now I can show this to my family or friends or family members. I can bring them this information and they'll understand, right?
Right.
No.
You fool.
No, you bring it, you like, hey, look at this. You know, you don't want this to happen. And it's like, you are a racist.
Right.
You know.
I had the same thing with Obama and the birth certificate where mm-hmm. I was like, hey, yeah. You know, you can download the birth certificate and like separate it in Photoshop. Like it's a fake document. And I had people saying to me like, how dare you? That's conspiracy. Right. And I'm sitting here going, no, I just did it on my computer. Like I'm telling you something from personal experience. And they're like, no, you believe lies. It's crazy.
Yeah. Cause they want to go back in the cave and stare at the shadows
right.
and feel comfortable and warm,
cozy
until the smoke inhalation begins.
Yeah.
I like the adding that part to Plato's cave, is that eventually
everybody's getting it
hopped eventually
up.
The fire in there is going to start making people die.
My addition to the cave metaphor is that there's a whole class of people now who think they've escaped the cave. So I feel like the people who run the cave put a back door in and they're like, hey, if anybody wants to escape, we send them through the back door. They actually go deeper into the cave.
Yeah.
But they think they've escaped.
Right.
I feel like we have a lot of people now who think they've woken up, but they've somehow, it's almost like Inception, like instead of waking up, they've woken up into another dream state deeper down the dimension. I don't know.
It's insane. It really is. I mean, you know, it's always the things that are right in front of you that you ignore the most.
Right.
And I mean, here we are on, and they're playing the cave. Here we are on media. We're a part of this electronic media that replaced mechanical media, print media. There was a time when the speed of things and the scale of things was a lot smaller than it is now. And, you know, and that's brought us to the point that we're at now. They're trying to sick these ne'er-do-wells, third-rate, you know, comedians from Hollywood on us because they are part of the speed and the scale, or so they think. They found somebody that can match us toe to toe, but they really can't, because we have the truth on our side. And back in the day, you would report the truth, like Watergate, you know, you would report the truth, and then people had the ability, they had, you know, they had the wherewithal, the mindset to actually analyze that information and talk amongst themselves, talk amongst their peers. Now, And the time, you know, it'd be like, oh, Watergate. You're looking at a newspaper article, and then...
And everybody's reading that article.
3 days later, you're talking about it at dinner, and then a week later, well, what's the latest, you know? Nowadays, something happens, and it's just like gone in a millisecond. And it could be anything. It could be the worst thing. I mean, we could just name them.
Yeah.
And it's gone, you know, and it's replaced by something else immediately.
Well,
so...
And that's part of the... changing strategy of the mainstream media, because before, as you're talking about, you know, it was a lot less stuff. So, you know, you had five networks, you had a couple major national newspapers. And if you could control those and you could just gatekeep, then their main method of killing a story was easy. It was just ignore it. It was just, if they didn't tell it, then maybe it'd make it to a local paper, but it'd never escape, you know, the greater Milwaukee area. They might know about it, but nobody else would, because you could gatekeep that way.
Mm-hmm.
With the internet, they could no longer gatekeep, so they had to change strategy, and they went with sort of a flood the zone strategy, where it's just like, okay, we can't stop them from talking about it, so let's make them talk about a ton of other stuff also, so it all gets lost in the mix. It's really a sort of defensive move from them to just like create tons of chaos all the time so that we can't sink our teeth into it.
Well, and the Schrodinger's question just keeps piling on. We don't know whether the cat's dead or alive.
Right.
So, but you put it out there and it's like, well, it could be dead, it could be alive. We're going to move on to the next thing.
Right.
Nobody opens the box and looks to see whether there's even a cat in it anymore. It's just, here's this story. Well, let's not even really talk about it. Let's move on. You know, I don't like that story. Whoever brought it up is crazy and they're racist conspiracy theorists. You know, oh, okay. What's next?
Moving on.
And we can't function like that as human beings. So, but there's no turning this off. So we, you know, as we go into AJN tomorrow, we have to start looking at what is next on our end. How do we continue to fight this, what is called hot media?
Mm.
There's a guy named McLuhan. You heard him? He's a Canadian professor. He came up with this concept called media is the massage.
Mm.
And so there's cold media and there's hot media. And cold media kind of allows the individual to be a part of it, and there's a consensus. Hot media, no consensus, no, very little consensus. It's, we're just going to keep pouring this on you, and you're going to swallow it until you drown.
Right.
And, so what we have to do in this hot media is we have to provide a way to immediately open that box and Schrodinger's cat comes flying out, you know, or doesn't.
Right.
So in order to do that, I grew up in media.
Mm.
You did ask me earlier where did you come from? I grew up in newsrooms in Washington, D.C., and, you know, I've been around mechanical media. And then, of course, like you and everybody else here, I was called to this eventually. I think we're all called here. I think the people that didn't last weren't really called.
It's a
very Showings, excuse me. they weren't really called to this.
Bless you.
They were, thank you. They were called to something else. So,
right.
It is, you know, there's an awakening that's going to happen in you or it's not.
Yeah.
It's either going to happen or it's not. So, you know,
you've got what it takes or you don't.
You've got a vested interest. I mean, at some point you're like, wait a minute, this is all affecting me.
Yeah.
So, am I going to be a good father, a good husband, a good human being, a good American citizen and try to fight back? And, you know, of course, the people that are here all took to that calling. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have done a really good job, but I think there's still a lot of room to move down the football field. And one of those things that's really just mind-blowing is, you know, you have a Savannah Hernandez who's out there, you know, now the FBI has gotten involved and everything, but she's out there with a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, and just dealing with, you know, using the cell phone, this as basically a weapon of media war. Back in the day, when I was on local NBC News, you know, you had to carry this humongous camera that was like $250,000.
You had to have like batteries on belts that were connected with wires.
Dude, yeah. I can see the radiation coming up. You know?
Right. Go with a van with a microwave dish.
Yeah. Why am I so tired? You know. Right. Well, maybe it's because the camera was heavy. I don't know. So, and then you get in this $500,000 van with a dish on it. And, you know, you're sending out all these radioactive waves to get your information back to an editor who at the time was me. And, you know, he's got 5 minutes to get all this done before you go to air. And just that's where I learned how to edit.
It was a huge barrier to entry back then.
Yeah. They said that, that an editor was just underneath an air traffic controller as far as stress.
Oh, wow.
Because, you're on a deadline and then you had three camera guys all calling you at once and you've got to edit this stuff. And it sometimes is right before, like during the commercial break that
you send it.
I mean, and then you do that every day. It doesn't have to be like that anymore. So what I brought was this would be your camera. You know, you got a windscreen for the mic. There's a microphone in here. If you ever needed to do like a, you know, similar to this mic here, but if you ever needed to do a live shot, let's say you got to go back and you got to talk to Alex or you in the field, you just plug that into your iPad.
Right.
And
all this stuff is like so affordable now. It's also, I mean,
anybody can get it.
When I started doing video, I definitely remember hard drives used to cost $1 a gigabyte. So if you wanted 100 gigabytes, you were spending $100.
Right.
The phone or the camera that I think I spent $5,000 on, was mini DV. It wasn't even HD. It wasn't digital. You had to have a FireWire cord to transfer it in real time. I mean, if I could have had the phone quality that we are all carrying around in our pocket right now, I would have been over the moon. We all have the technology.
It's all right here. It's here's your hard drive. Here's your keyboard. There's your mouse. You can plug this into the iPad right here. And you can plug in your hard drive, your power source, your headphones, and then you've got your iPad to plug it all into.
Yeah.
And you're done. This is it. This is your field. This is it. And then there is a, I don't get sponsored by these people, but Blackmagic DaVinci has really changed the game. That's what we were waiting on was,
And that's the free editing software.
Yeah, it's free. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But the problem was before when you used whatever was on, iPad, it just didn't do, it wasn't Premiere.
Yeah.
But now, DaVinci, it's same level.
It's free and this is one of the things people sit out there, you know, what can I do? I want to get involved. It's like, learn a skill, learn how to edit, download DaVinci Resolve. It is absolutely free. You can upgrade it or whatever.
And I'd like to teach people how to do the reports like I'm doing them.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't want to just, I don't want to go into AJN and it's just still me.
Right.
You know, I'd want to be kind of the godfather of
a bunch of people doing that.
Yeah, of this whole new.
One thing I think people need to know the basics, because as simple as it sounds, like journalistic basics of who, what, when, where, why. Because
there's that. There's also something that maybe in front of that or behind it, but it's don't get sued.
Right.
And so you've got to know the rules of the road. You've got to, when you put a movie clip up, you got to go and look up what movie production house put it out. And you got to courtesy that.
Right.
Among other things, you got to kind of alter it in a way too, so that it's, you know, that it's not the original.
Yeah.
You've got with sound bites, you know, the problem now that I would love to get out to everybody, especially on Twitter, we've got all these great people out there in the field. If they could just bug their reports, please. If you could just bug your report
he means put the little bug on the side there.
Your name, whatever. You could even just screenshot your Twitter name and put it on the bottom. It just, when I go to grab, an important soundbite or video like that, it's like, all right, well, who did this? And then sometimes I've lost where I got it from. I don't have a source for it, so I'm not going to use it.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of people out there like, hey, man, I was on InfoWars. You know, it's great, but it shouldn't be like that. It should just be like the speed and the scale.
Yeah.
Like, let's get going here so we don't get tripped up by that.
But like so often I'll be sent like a video from TikTok. TikTok is especially bad at it. And I open up the video and it's somebody just going, okay, so he did it again. And, you know, I can't believe it this time. And I'm like, wait, who did what? You got to lay down. Yeah. You got to make an argument. You got to put something that is packaged and compelling in a standalone thing, because you might have the most amazing information ever. If you can't express it accurately or express it in a way that's understandable, it's like a tree falling in the forest. No one's around to hear it. It's like, who cares? Well, you've got to be able to get your information out there.
My liberal mother would always say, who are they, John?
Right.
So I have to go back and say the name. So that's something else that I started adding to my reports, was whenever I saw myself and they, even though I already said it earlier, no, I'm going to repeat. And George Soros.
Right. Exactly who you're talking about.
There, and over 15 years of doing this, I've learned how to be able to do reports incredibly fast. And so sometimes you'd start a report and it'd be some kind of labor of love, you know, and you're just like digging in and it's like 2 days later, you know. I remember Pizzagate, it was like just 3 days of just consuming all of this information for a 5-minute report. But now you can harness what we have now, and you can make reports incredibly fast. And if you're in the field like a Savannah Hernandez, you know, it's great that she has the video and she's, hey, I'm Savannah, I'm here and this is what's going on. And that's amazing. But if she wanted to say more and add sound bites or add examples, you know, do more of a compacted news report, she doesn't have to send it off to somebody. She just goes back to her car or wherever, and, you know, let's say something goes down in the morning, 9 a.m., and is it going to be ready for Harrison's show later? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not going to – we don't have to send it back to somebody to edit and, you know, or somebody in the field has to go back to a hotel room and edit it. You don't have to do that anymore.
You can do it all in the field, yeah.
And so, like I said, the speed and the scale is what we're dealing with now. And we either ride it or we don't. And then if we don't, they've got all kinds of plans for us. Like you saw in that report, you know, they have what can be simplified to, they want to take our being, our minds, like they've been doing since, you know, the beginning of religion. Religious institutions, and they want to take what we know as human beings, what we, this amazing brain that we each have, you know, this, this human experience that we all have, they want to take it and they want it to become something. So they want to take everything that you are and they want to put it into a digital form, and then you don't even matter anymore.
Right.
So we're fighting this battle that they don't want you to see.
Exactly. If people knew what they were doing, they wouldn't stand for it.
Yeah. And that's where we come in.
Right.
Because who the hell is going to bring that up? You know, I mean, we got earthquakes supposedly out in Area 51 today. Are they going to talk about that on the news?
I didn't even know that was happening.
Why are there earthquakes at Area? Is something gone? Is a flying saucer trying to get out of the ground? I mean, what's happening?
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, how dare you ask that question? Well, how dare I not ask that
mysterious
question?
Mysterious earthquake swarm near Area 51. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
And then immediately, conspiracy theories.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Because
how dare you question an event?
How about ballless journalists refuse to ask questions?
Seriously.
I mean, what's everybody so damn afraid of, man?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. So again, if people out there, they're always like, I want to be involved. You know, what can I do? This is what you can spread the word. You can become a reporter. You can do it with just your phone. I mean, that's fine. But like really the basics are important. If you have a little tripod and a little microphone, just like the setup that John has here.
This is it.
That really, really elevates the quality of your production. And that means people will pay attention to it more because
I've got one more piece that DaVinci gives you if you buy the software, which I bought for the PC. And so like Premiere is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's a subscription. DaVinci's like one time, $250, and they give you this piece of hardware, this editing piece. I wish I brought it, and it just makes your editing even faster once you learn it. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's insane. So, yeah. I'm not going to keep all this to myself.
Yeah. Well, okay. I could use some advice because my problem when I try to do reports like the ones you do, I know clips of videos that I'm like, oh, that clip would be really good. And then it's just the time it takes for me to find those clips and to remember where they were from and to go source them. And that, mm-hmm. So what happens is I end up spending 2 days doing something but I can't quite finish it. And then it falls to the wayside and it's no longer relevant. And it's like, I did a ton of work for nothing. How do you cause you always use so many clips and they're all so relevant. You pull stuff from long ago and from now. How do you do that management? How do you do file management? How do you keep track of that stuff?
Well, a lot of it, like old clips is all, you know, in my hard drives, it's all archived so I can pull it up by name or at least get close to that B-roll. But like grabbing something off Twitter, I have just gotten in the habit of, okay, here's the, it usually will say video from such and such,
mm-hmm.
but I try to go to where it came from. But if I can't find it and it's really important, then I just screenshot where it came from and I use that person as the source.
Right.
Because they're the ones that put it up there. So, and this is news and this is free information and it's incredibly important. The First Amendment is a weapon and should be used as a weapon to wake up people's minds. And, if we're going to just use it as a cudgel against ourselves, you know, it's kind of pointless and retarded, but.
No, you gotta, and you almost just have to be ready and like aware to notice things. Cause one of the things I'm probably most proud of was like kind of a total coincidence. And it's when I went to, during COVID, I went to get the monoclonal antibodies and they told me that I couldn't get it cause I was white. And so I just got my phone out and went, sorry, what? I can't get this cause I'm white.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
and it,
awesome.
It got on Tucker Carlson and people in Oregon saw it and wrote a law to say, you know, they shouldn't do this. So like my report, just because I happened to like, be ready and of course have a position that I could, you know, get attention to it. But of course, that's what we're here for. If you see something happening like that, just get your phone out, record it, send it to us. Yep. We'll make a big deal out of it. Yep. People will write laws and the world will change because of what you did. Like, it's really an amazing feeling and you just have to be, you know, prepared enough to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, like, tell me something that I'm like, if you had just filmed that, this would be a national story. But you know, people just aren't ready to have that reaction.
Well, before I'd set up my office at home, I put the computer and everything on my daughter. At the time, she was 7 years old. Her desk, which is like one of those
little princess desk.
So I'm editing this video. Dude had sent me some stuff from Bilderberg.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there and I edit this thing, this report, and it, you know, gets up on InfoWars and everything, and it causes an international incident.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, that's where the
I just did this from at a little princess desk.
I mean, it's, you know, and
you can have an impact. It's crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they will, you just have to stop listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, the truth is incredibly important. Something that, I make sure that I do in my reports is I want people to feel like they can trust me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. And also any criticism that I get, you know, I had one of my liberal friends tell me, you know, ask me at a wedding, if I was still trying to find out if Bigfoot drove the UFO. And I was like, dude, I've never done a report on Bigfoot or UFOs.
That's the funny
side. I don't know. And the thing is my reporting, having been in news for so long, to me, and also being paranoid about getting sued,
we have to be right.
It has to be right.
We don't have the ability like MSM does to just lie about everything all day. We have to be right. More with John Bowne on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customer 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm in studio with John Bound. Folks, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Today's the last day. You have mere hours left to take advantage of the big sales and get the Infowars branded merchandise. Official Infowars branded merchandise will no longer be sold as of, let's see, 7 hours and 26 minutes from now. So do not waste time. Do not hesitate to go now to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you and get yourself some Infowars branded merchandise while you still can, thealexjonesstore.com. Now we were talking about a bunch of interesting stuff, during the break. I was starting the list. Maybe you can help me, finish it. 'Cause I was thinking, okay, people out there, they want to get involved. They see what Alex Jones has created. And that's something, you know, you talk about this room used to have desks in it. When I got here, this studio was the main studio. Alex Jones was in this. The American Journal studio didn't exist. Alex's big studio didn't exist. It's like, InfoWars has continually grown, continually expanded, continually built new stuff, constantly pouring, you know, all of the proceeds into building bigger and better studios and getting bigger and better. And it's just been amazing to see the growth of InfoWars. And so people are watching and they know that Alex started just like them, by himself, on his own, with something to say. And so he started saying it. So I was thinking like, okay, you've got like sort of the Savannah Hernandez, Nick Shirley style. You can go out and do like on the ground reporting. You can do reports like you do where you have an idea and you find, you know, evidence for it and you put it all together.
Yeah, you got a face like mine. You got a face for radio but you got a decent voice and you got some great ideas. You know, that's where I can come in and tutor some people. But I do want to say, like, 'cause I keep thinking about it today, like, you know, it's not a sad day because we, as you say, get into our escape pod now and go off into Alpha Centauri, but, it is a nostalgic day and it's kind of like I likened it to, I was like, is it like a car wreck? And then I started thinking, no, it's like the Bluesmobile, you know, so they're on a mission from God and they go through all of this stuff with all of these, you know, different types of energy, dark energy coming after them, but they succeed. And at the end, InfoWars is the Bluesmobile where they pull up into the front of the, Murr building, is it? Anyway, and the Bluesmobile falls apart.
Right.
And then they just they just keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. We rode until the Bluesmobile, maybe you guys can bring that up, but.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
Until the Bluesmobile just fell apart. And, the thing that that first came to my mind was like, mind? What? It's 15 years of your life. So, right. You know, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if it
were. We're on a mission from God. There's InfoWars.
Yeah. Or it's like the Pirates of the Caribbean, the opening shot of Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know, that's how we, all the thinkers are looking at it.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is.
Well, it did its job, you know? It got us to where we needed to be.
But Alex's, the first thing that came to my mind was his energy.
Yeah.
And so having worked here for 15 years, I haven't been able to keep up with that guy.
Right.
I mean, he's come in, people are all throwing all this stuff at him like he's, you know, a part of the Jewish mystery schools and,
right.
and the CIA and
controlled opposition
and Jesuit orders and stuff like this. And he's controlled and paid. And you'd be so disappointed to find out the truth. I mean, it's actually so. You know, this may seem glorious and all this. This is what the media massage is. But the truth behind it is there's this dude who started on public access here in Austin and he's so excited about getting you the truth and the information. He feels like it's totally not feels like it is his calling and he's been raised to do this. His parents, you know, early on, that's kept him energized. I mean, he even keeps going on vacation.
Right.
You know, so.
Oh, right. No, there's no such thing as vacation for Alex Jones.
So for me, like having seen that of 15 years of that, 7 days a week, Alex, you know, and he goes and he spends his private family time with his family and then he's just back at it.
Yeah. Know? No, it's unbelievably impressive. And, we were talking during the break. It's one thing's, as we're ending the last segment there, something I wanted to express again to just inspire people to go out and take part in this and become an info warrior yourself is don't ask for permission and don't wait for somebody to come give you a job. You just got to do it.
Yeah.
You just got to do it and don't ask for permission and don't, you know, plan it to the end. Just do it. And that's something I had to sort of learn myself, with Alex Jones, but I hear constantly people expressing this idea of like, oh, I want to help, like, come choose me, come hire me, or, you know, this idea of like, well, I'm really talented, if somebody would just notice. And it's like, you just got to go out and do it. No one's going to give it to you.
Yeah.
No one's going to ask you, oh, do you want this? Oh, would you like to do that? No, you just have to do it. Don't ask for permission and don't wait for somebody
to come. Be like Mel Gibson.
Mm.
You know, get completely canceled. You win Oscars. You're like a top tier level Hollywood actor. And then you get drunk and you get pulled over and you say some stuff about the Jews and your whole life is canceled.
Yep.
And then he just turns around and takes, no, Hollywood's not going to back him. He takes $45 million of his own money and he just does it.
He just does it. Yeah.
And it is, you know, it's kind of like, well, I did this. Is this going to go anywhere? We'll help you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
just, that's what we're here
for. I mean, we're all here. We're all in this together and I want to help people. I'm not going to be here forever. You know, I want to be able to pass on this knowledge to a bunch of people. And, so I don't know. Maybe that's something we do, you know, in the new network is that, you know, I can somehow reach out to people and I don't know.
Maybe training seminars or something
like that. But, because like,
but don't wait, but don't
can you imagine if there's like, there's like 100 of me out there?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we need. And hell, I mean, with AI and the, get a editing system on your phone. They're actually good now. Like it's really amazing and there's really no excuse not to do it, I think. And again, the idea of just do it, you know, the classic Nike slogan, like that was something I had to learn at InfoWars because I'm sort of a perfectionist. And when I would do, you know, movie, you know, film projects before, I'd want the whole thing planned. I'd want to know what every second looked like. Where's the camera going to be? And I would go to Alex. I'd say, hey, I think I'm going to do this. And he would just go, just do it. Just put it out. Just go ahead and do it. It was just like,
yeah,
right. You just got to do it.
Some of us are different, than the way that you and Alex present. And I'm sure you had to learn that. But for me, I'm kind of up in my head all the time. So I like to write. I have boundreport.substack.com. I'll write something. And I'll make a podcast out of it. And so I sit there and I write it and I really go deep into what, the subject is because, you know, there's just so much you can say in 5 minutes. So sometimes it'll be like 30, 40 minutes of me just going on and on about the subject. So for me, just getting up in front of the camera with Twitter and some news stories in front of me, that's kind of actually new terrain for me. I will be trying that soon, but that's not how I particularly operate, and everybody doesn't have to operate that way. You can just get comfortable in what you're doing, confident and comfortable in what you're doing first, and then just, you know, work your way into whatever you need to do. But the knowledge that it takes to learn editing, it's a little bit, you know, you are going to have to get, you're going to have to want to do it. Cause editing, can be very frustrating.
Yeah.
I had an editor at the NBC station. He destroyed a newsroom next to me out of pure frustration.
yeah, that happens.
or an editing bay. He destroyed the editing bay, while I was editing. but you can get very frustrated. Speaking of, somebody that can really destroy an editing bay.
It looks like. Hey, is Darren joining us? We've never done this before.
It's two words, one finger.
Yeah, that's to the Onion. That's for the Onion right there. Hey, to the
where
class
are you?
Of 2011.
You're an employee of some sort. I don't even know where you are.
Class of 2011, baby.
2011, yeah.
So John Bound and I were hired about a week apart 15 years ago. And what a long, strange trip it's been. And you can't kill the InfoWar. And so I'm a nostalgic guy. I'm walking around. I'm going to miss this place so much. I mean, you have no idea, but at the same time, I'm excited because they can't kill the InfoWar. This is going to make us stronger. I'm telling you, I feel it. We're going to rise like a phoenix and we're going to kick some ass. So Alex, I can't say it. We'll wait till tomorrow, but you know where to find it on X. We're launching this new broadcast beginning tomorrow, and all the usual suspects were all coming back. So Harrison's going to be there.
Yeah.
John Bound's continuing to do his thing. I'll be continuing to do my edits. And if they think that they've, you know, really depressed us and it's not the case. We're excited about this. And I think going forward, it's going to be extraordinary.
I had really hoped that the Onion would take over today. I was really excited about that. I wanted to get my popcorn. I was just like, oh man, this is going to be the greatest fail I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And then all of our supporters, they have no idea. Like Alex would take calls years ago and it'd be like, yeah, you know what? There's something going on in Egypt. Let's only take calls from Egypt. The whole thing would light up. It's calls from Egypt. You know, we have people watching in Japan right now. We have people, celebrities right now watching this. We have rock stars watching this. Everybody is watching this right now. And, especially today. And, this is really only the beginning because, we will spawn this monstrosity from here because we know what the enemy is doing. We know what they're up to and, we're going to continue to expose it and, we will persevere.
And our continuing existence is spitting in their face. And how unique is it at InfoWars? I mean, there's so many outlets out there and you know, there's the face, there's the person in the front that does it. But like at InfoWars, you know, everybody, you see the crew, you hear John Bound, you hear Darren McBreen is slaving away all day, every day, making the edits that you see. I mean, we're the real deal and we're out front and the people that are involved, every one of us is dedicated to this. I didn't realize you guys both got hired a week apart. That's awesome.
Yeah, still that's here. Right. And another thing it does, it engages our audience. Our audience is the best and they're proactive. They don't just sit on their asses. They do share the links.
Oh, our audience is incredibly intelligent. And you know, the feedback we get from the audience is like some of the stuff that people come up with that they've researched just makes you feel small, you know. It's amazing.
Especially the fact that we take calls. It's like I would be an idiot to try to pull one over on the audience. They would call me on it immediately. Like it's not possible for us.
Right.
Well, look, it's been a pleasure serving with both of you fellas.
You as well.
But the mission continues.
It continues off into other territory.
And long live the InfoWar.
Long live the InfoWar.
Woo!
Darren McBreen on X at Media Rival. Got to follow him, of course. And I'm telling you, it's just the amount of talent, the amount of skill, the amount of, it's like, and we're talking, cause obviously things are changing around and shifting around. And we're talking to some of the people that are involved now. And it was, the crew's getting rowdy back there. And you know, they're sort of asking about the crew and who's what. And it's like, y'all don't understand, everybody that works here, a lot of people have like secondary jobs, not that it's distracting, but like, we're not the type of people that just clock in, plug away, doing the bare minimum to get a paycheck and then clock out and go home. It's like everybody here has something that they're passionate about. And maybe it's just music. Maybe it's, you know, they do something on the side. They have a band and they're creating that way.
Everybody here is very passionate about white supremacy.
Well, of course. I mean,
according to the FBI. No, it's a bunch of musicians who, you know, Sixth Street, Austin kind of fell apart around us.
Right.
Meanwhile, there's a superstar emerging on public access and we all came to his aid.
Right.
Cause we, you know, as a lot of us are just musicians who wanted to express, you know, whatever it is about the new, that's why we attract these high level. Prince was in, before Prince died, he was like making, he was going to come here and talk to us.
Right.
Like, I mean, you name it.
Oh my God. Well,
we our fingers on the pulse.
Well, and think about the downstream effects that Alex Jones has had on the people that he woke up. I was looking at a list that was like the top 10 most, influential people on the internet. And it was like two of the top five were Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Guess who woke both of those people up? It was Alex Jones. So it's like, you're talking about the influencer of the influencers. You're talking about the proto influencer who set all of these guys on their own independent paths. And, you know, not to take credit for it, like it's not like Tucker Carlson wouldn't be anything without Alex Jones, but it's like he will tell you, Tucker Carlson will tell you it was Alex Jones and meeting Alex Jones that first woke him up to the reality of the way the world worked. You can find clips in the 1990s of Joe Rogan and Alex Jones palling around before Joe Rogan was, I mean, he, you know, people still didn't know who he was, even though he was on Fear Factor. It's like he was certainly not the dynamo juggernaut that he is now. And that's thanks to Alex Jones. So it's like, it's not even just him. It's the people that he's inspired.
Well, and like I was saying, the hot media, like you, the cold media to the hot media, cause I had come from cold media where, I mean, it was digitized and, you know, you could feed things, but before that it was, I was in radio and before that it was people typing at a desk, you know? And so here comes Alex on local public access and he's getting into that new hot media. Like, and by hot media, it's something that you can use to get more information out there, more media out there. And here it is for the first time. And you can say whatever you want. Alex got all kinds of things to say. And so he spearheads that into where we are now and all it just this wake of people along with him, you know, and, you know, Alex goes back to the pure days when Austin was cool as shit.
It was.
Sorry.
It was
cool. Sorry to dump that, but,
But you're exactly, yeah. And it wasn't even that long ago. I remember in 2012, I lived at 15th Street in Lamar and I'd go across the street to the Austin Java and there would be a stack of InfoWars magazines because InfoWars would go around and drop off stacks of magazines at all the cafes. I'd go in the next day and they'd all be gone. Like, it was the hot product. Yeah. It was like everybody was talking
collector's
about
InfoWars. Items. Those are collector's items.
I know. I used to have a giant, I don't know where they went.
I got some.
I lugged those around by moving from place to place. I always had a big box of InfoWars
magazines.
That was
the cold media.
Yeah.
So we were going back to the cold media and we were even hitting that. So it seemed like nostalgic or whatever, but it was actually cool because it was connected to this new scalable. Speeding media that, that we're a part of now. And now it's entering this AI region and it's going to speed and scale even more. And it's going to try to crush me and you and Alex and everybody else and try to turn us into, you know, what they're trying to do, you know, with the Onion. They're all laughing around with sitting around with, Bloomberg's, you know, billions of dollars laughing. They're going to do to us and just make us obsolete.
Which is so funny because, and this is sort of the point, right? It's like Austin used to be cool and weird and the cool weirdos were all info warriors. And so it's like people have this perspective of us where it's like we're either like kooky Bigfoot Loch Ness monster alien people or we're like Nazi fascists. And it's like,
well, that's what about the rock stars is like, you know, Reverend Horton Heat, for example. I mean, that dude will talk your ear off all day about it, about conspiracies and stuff like that. He knows the truth. But the thing is the left wants to make it out that we're these crazy nerdy idiots who just were retarded and we have, but it turns out the coolest people in the United States are our fans.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are tuning in every day. So I don't know what you're talking about. You might be the nerds. Sorry. You know, the Onion, you might not actually be very funny. You just might not be that entertaining. In fact, when you come in here, first thing you gotta do as a comedian is you gotta charm people, right? They gotta like who you are at first, right? Well, nobody's gonna like who you are. And then you're gonna try and hit us with your just not even dry sense of humor. The sense of humor that these people have is, look at me. I'm cute. I'm in the cool club in Pretty Hollywood. Much. I live down the street in Beverly Hills from such and such. Look at what I can do now. Oh, I'm Tim Heidecker. I dropped this. Ha 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 ha. That's not funny.
That's funnier than anything.
That's gay and retarded.
That is what it is, unfortunately. No, but literally I still might do it. Maybe we'll do it during the extended broadcast today, but I was going to do the try not to laugh challenge and just go through, whatever Tim Heidecker does because I watch like four or five videos and I'm just like, I don't know what they're talking about. It's not compelling. It's not interesting. It's not funny. I'm just like, what is the appeal? And of course, there is no appeal. They get 50 likes a post. It's like pathetic, because nobody actually likes them and they're entirely propped up.
I know,
but it's like,
if only they had taken it over.
Oh, and man. I know. Well, but the funny part is, it's like they want to pretend that they're us. They want to pretend that they're the outsiders, that they're the, you know, like dangerous ones, that they are, you know, the ones who really understand how, you know, evil operates and the manipulation that's being used. But like you're all tools and frankly kind of retarded.
Well, so. And they bought into this idea that celebrities are some kind of other higher form of human being.
Right.
And one thing I've learned throughout time is that celebrities are at bare minimum just regular people. I sat and talked to Bruce Willis for about 45 minutes at the Continental Club, and I was sitting caddy corner. He was right here, and there was nobody in there, and it was like noon, and we were watching the Paladins play, and I never looked him in the eye, and he goes to the bathroom, he comes back, and these girls come in, and they're getting really excited about somebody being there. And I turn to look, and I'm like, oh, it's Bruce. I've been talking to Bruce Willis the whole time.
You were talking to him, but you didn't realize who he was.
But he was enjoying the fact that he was just a regular guy for 45 minutes.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's some talented people out there that can, you know, Robert De Niro. Yeah, the guy can act, but he's just a scumbag, right. Disgusting human being. Bruce Springsteen. Sure, I guess he can sing and strum a guitar, but he's awful. He's an awful person. You know,
so. That's been a major change in the last 10. I was listening to like a radio show, you know, some old like Opie and Anthony clip from 1995 or something. And it's like, I forgot that like 90% of what people talked about back then was celebrity. It was all this like, oh, Britney Spears is this and Tom Cruise's kid is this. And it's like, the shiny, specialness of celebrities has just collapsed. Everybody just sees who they are.
Well, it's a scam.
Now.
It's a giant scam. Like, coming from Austin, Texas back in the day, it was like a Disneyland of music. Like,
right.
You could go
live music capital
walk
of the world.
Down. It really was. You could, it's not anymore, but it really was. It, you know, Friday night, Austin, Texas, 1992, you could walk down the street, $5 to see the guitar player from the Meters.
Right.
And you go in there and you watch that or Morphine's playing in here or the Red Hot Chili Peppers over here or Prince is over here under another name, you know.
Yeah.
And that was Sixth Street. And then you come home at 3 a.m. and you're half drunk and you're watching Alex on the,
right.
You know, and that was Austin, but, it's become a scam. And, you know, now we have all these music artists. We have these artists that are actually now legends. They're actually older now. And no one's heard of Eric Gales or Derek Trucks or so on and so forth. Like we put celebrity, these fake Tim Heidecker type people in front, because a bunch of a-holes who don't have a sense of humor with all the money put them up there.
Yeah.
And the 45% of America, which is now independent now, which means that there's this whole section of America, and then there's these tiny two little bits that are fighting each other all the time, the left and the right, and then the rest of us are like, what the hell? And so
can we not be normal,
so
please?
The same thing has happened with our culture. It's just like, you know, okay, well, I'll go find Eric Gale's album and I'll listen to it on my own. But somebody with that, he's a modern day Jimi Hendrix. Somebody with that kind of talent. Everybody should know, but you probably don't even know who I'm talking about.
No.
Yeah. But if you knew, you'd be like, oh, well, that makes sense.
Well, that's kind of the thing. And, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but like it used to be, it's called the long tail, right? It's like, it used to be a very small number of people that everybody knew. Now you can find 10,000 bands that you like and nobody's ever heard of, but you can find your little niche. So
yeah.
It's not really necessarily a bad thing. It just means that like instead of big celebrities, you have a ton of kind of medium sized celebrities.
Oh, I was a DJ for a long time. Mm-hmm. So like I come from the Wolfman Jack school.
Okay.
So I like promoting great artists. Like there's a band I like now, Geese.
Mm.
Which only the kids know about Geese.
I'm gonna have to write this down. You're more hip than I am.
And so like, and that's something my daughter was like, oh, you're just now.
You're just now getting into Geese. Well, hey, can you stay with us for the next hour?
I hope so.
All right. I will allow it. Cause I'm going to take phone calls. I'm going to open up the phone lines for the last hour of the last broadcast of War Room at this studio under the InfoWars banner. We're going to open up the phone lines to your calls. Please do support us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com is how you keep us in operation and continuing to do what we do. InfoWars ends today, but the InfoWar goes on forever, and the InfoWar never dies. So go to TheAlexJonesStore.com today, get your InfoWars merchandise in the next few hours, and we'll be back on the other side to take your calls.
coming up in just the next month or so. It looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now, here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial. That means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexandstore.com. I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. We've taken the info this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over body thing, thealexandstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
Gentlemen, third hour of the War Room is on InfoWars.com, band.video. I'm in studio with John Bound. He's hanging out with us for the remainder of the show, and we're going to take your phone calls. I'll open up the phone lines in the next segment, so hold off on that for now. You know, one of the interesting things, and you've been here for 15 years, the InfoWars mindset.
It's so bizarre.
I know.
It really is. I mean, it's literally sitting right there 15 years ago.
Time flies, man. It really is crazy.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I was a young buck then, and now, you know, it's just, I'm over the hill.
Time moves on. But you know, it was Alex Jones that sort of just created the template for like what the right wing is now. It's nationalistic, but it's not racist. It's about health and keeping poison out of the food and waters. Like that was a leftist, you know, weird like hippie thing before, but it's like for some, you know, he nailed it. He nailed all of these things. And it was by going after just pure Americana, just sticking with the founding fathers and just sort of like, that's our thing. That's the horse we ride. And as long as we don't deviate from that, everything sort of falls into place. It's been fascinating to see this, the InfoWars belief system be adopted by basically everybody now.
Yeah, I tend to go towards the generational divide, and I always disclaimer this by saying that, of course, my parents' generation, I was heavily influenced by them. I've got a lot of respect for a lot, especially the Vietnam vets and all those people. So I'm not saying this about all of boomers. I'm saying this about the elite. And I've been trying to get – we need to come up with a name for these people. But there's this group of elite boomers who think that we owe them everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just they're in their mid to late 80s and they're still just sucking
into power. Yeah.
Just parasites. And they also have no regard for us. They think they're in charge of us and they're our authority. But problem is like we're all now, in our 50s. And we're the parents. We're the ones that have to deal with the way the world is and leave it for our children. So it's like, it's not even like, you don't really have a leg to stand on anymore as far as like you being the authority, like the Leave It to Beaver generation where you think that, you know, you're Ward Cleaver and you're going to talk down to me. You know, it's like, and on top of that, Generation X is, we're a bunch of punks. Like we grew up not, respecting authority to begin with. So we knew something was wrong to begin with. So what that leads us up to when it comes to Alex is that Alex is more than just being pigeonholed into a political voice. He's a voice. He may be the voice of Generation X.
Right.
He may be the voice. And so I don't think we've completely come to understand truly what that means and who we are yet, but we will, within the next decade. I mean, you know, these people that are running the country are completely clueless. They live on propaganda, and half of them, you know, their brains don't even work, and they're still running the country.
And you got to wonder, like, how did that happen? Because it is the boomer generation is this unique, you know, creation in humankind, as far as I can tell, where it's like everybody before them understood, you know, your purpose, you know, for the first, you know, or the whatever second 20 years of your life is you're supposed to be in charge and you're supposed to train the next generation. And then you get to retire and pass off the baton. And it's like the boomers just never pass the baton. And it's like Gen X understands what's supposed to happen. Millennials understand what's supposed to happen. But it's like the boomers just missed that memo and just thought, no, we just hang on to power forever, never teach our kids how to handle it. And then we'll die and take it all with us. And it's just like, how did this happen?
And then they're out there against the white nationalist patriarch Christian system when that's not who we are. And the fact to call us white supremacists is such a joke. I grew up in the 70s.
Right.
I just went to a P-Funk concert a few days ago. I was friends with Bernie Worrell and George Clinton. I mean, first girl I ever kissed was black, 6 years old. I mean, it's just like, and you're racist.
It's like, it's crazy.
What planet are you coming from? You know, and so you're just telling yourself that. And so they come after this take down the patriarch, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like,
oh, hold on. We got to go to break. Sorry. Yeah. We almost missed it. We'll be right back. 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
White blue running through my veins. Steel in my heart, yeah, I feel no pain. Boots hit the mat like thunder and rain. Step in the ring, now remember the name. Stars on my back, stripes in my soul. Fight for the truth, never self-control. You push me down, I'm
big shout out to Wars of the Info on X. Wars of the Info put this together. This little dramatic reenactment of the way we utterly destroyed the Onion's fraudulent attempt to take us over. Which I know my guest John Bowne is disappointed in. I think we should sell.
Where are these guys? Didn't you invite them to come by?
And they're here.
They're in town.
Are they?
Yeah. If the Onion comes knocking at the door, come on in.
Yeah, we will literally bring you on TV right now.
Yeah,
if they come to the studio.
I would really like to have a laugh because I don't know how to do comedy.
We're not funny. We're dumb.
We're too serious.
Scumbags.
With our conspiracy theories.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of dumb liars, obviously, which is
obviously.
Why.
And it's awful what we've done to media over the past 10 years. I love that part. They're like,
we've destroyed media.
We've just got to get rid of these guys because what they've done to media over the past 10 years, it's just awful. You know, and so talk about how bizarre the Onion was going to be. It's like, so they're going to be in here. They're going to be making their pedophile jokes and stuff.
I don't even know, but that's the thing.
They think there's like a laugh kind of thing going on, and then cut to Sandy Hook ad.
Yeah. It's like going to be weird, man. Well, the weirdest thing is that they wanted to dedicate the platform to trans comedy. which is a little ironic that you're going to dedicate InfoWars to the demographic most likely to shoot up in elementary school. That's a little on the nose, I think, but hey, you do.
Ooh, doesn't that truth hurt? Oh, go look it up.
Ooh, go look at the stats.
No, that's awful
crazy.
What he said. It's awful. It's awful. How can he say that?
It's transphobic is what it is. It's also just accurate and borne out by the stats, but
just saying that to be hyperbolic.
That's probably what it is. I'm probably lying. No, it's ridiculous. So,
somebody says, can we please stop with the dissing of boomers? Like I said, disclaimer, listen. I'm not dissing boomers. I mean, they raise me. I have total respect for boomers. Okay.
Here,
it's a group of boomers that are ruining it for the rest of the boomers.
Can we do an exercise? Can you insult millennials for me?
Yes. Millennials. Let's see.
Just millennials are.
Millennials are easy to offend.
True, they are.
They are very easy.
Yeah.
See how
I did that?
They think they. Yeah.
The crew's like, "What? No, how dare
hey,
you?
I'm a millennial."
But that's how easy it is, folks. Guess what? I'm a millennial. When people say, "Hey, millennials are lazy," I say, "You're darn right." Yeah, yeah.
And Gen Z, they can easily offend you.
That's right. But that's a very boomer coded thing. It's like, look,
yeah.
If you're watching us, you're not the boomers.
I love boomers.
Of course.
I'm just saying. Can we have a Schrodinger's question about it? It doesn't have to be one, doesn't have to be the other. The thing is the boomers that I love, their name is being destroyed by this tiny group of purple haired boomers in Congress. And enough is enough. So like, it's become, cast the first stone at Generation X, and it's like, you're all racists and all this. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're saying Generation X, you know, if we're going to talk about generation, let's talk about Generation X, you know? I mean, a lot of people don't understand us either, you know?
Well, so, y'all sort of the forgotten generation. It really was, you know, boomers just sort of kept hold of the reins and, you know, Gen X just sort of got to watch Fight Club.
We're the kids in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
That's exactly what age I was. I watched that. I'm like, wow, this could have all happened.
Right.
We were the ones that went and played till the lights came on. You don't come back till the lights. You learned how to survive in the woods. You're just a very primitive kind of.
You fought people at school. Didn't get expelled for it.
No.
Yeah. I was sort of on the last like cusp of that in terms of like the, you know, the lights coming on and stuff. Like I remember a time before cell phones. I remember a time before the internet, but like right at the cusp and things just went, completely off the rails. But the racist thing, especially like, cause I grew up in the 90s. Like, are you kidding me? And every school I ever went to, I was a minority. Like, you're not going
to
like,
I was working here and I was invited by Public Enemy to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to see them inducted. Like,
that's awesome.
I think they got a little bit of a meter as far as whether or not I'm, you know,
it was you and the head of the KKK they invited, right? But that's the funny part is, a lot of people out there, it's like a lot of people want to call us racist because they don't know anything about us and don't have anything to actually criticize us for. So they come up with the worst thing they can imagine, or they misconstrue what we're saying like they do with everybody. But the other side of it is that you've got the actual racist people that call us cucks or whatever else for not being obsessed with race and not thinking that, you know, race is the most important thing and saying this message, the message we support and the ideas we support are applicable to every race, color and creed and should be adopted by every race, color and creed. And I've seen so many people in the recent past.
And that's such an awful argument, by the way, people that do that. Because when I see that, I'm like, okay, this could be the CIA.
Well, right.
This could be FBI. I'm not going to respond to this because SPLC, because I have no idea who this person is and give them my opinion. I'm just not even going to get involved because at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. But now that we've seen what happened with the SPLC and we're probably going to see with the ADL and Black Lives Matter even more. You know, it's all a giant scam anyway.
Yeah. You know? Well, and it's funny because it's like people will be like, you're not racist enough or you're covering for the Jews. And it's like the only what they want your response to be like, no, I'm super anti-Semitic. No, actually, I'm going to defend myself against that. It's like, no, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not racist. I'm not any of that stuff. But the funny part is I've seen a lot of these people. Richard Spencer was the last one, right? He was all about race. He was hail Trump and doing the Roman salute and stuff. And then I was watching a video of his, very recently, and he was going, you know, sort of dropped that. I think the more important thing is like values, and it's like InfoWars just, we planted our flag in basic Americana nationalism, and we've just watched as people from every different direction have sort of slowly gravitated to us because this is the right position. It's defensible. It's applicable to everybody, but it, you know, stands up for itself. It's like, this is the way everybody should be. And you've got radicals on the left and radicals on the right, both sort of slowly but surely coming around to our position because it's always the right one.
One nation under a groove.
One nation under a groove. All right. We're getting, I didn't even give out the number and we already got phone lines, filling up. If you do want to call in, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. You know, I was getting like news together today. Like we were going to do a regular show and it's like, this is the last show. I just want to reminisce with John Brown. I just want to talk about InfoWars and what we've accomplished and achieved. So I'm sorry if I'm not, you know, if this isn't the heaviest news episode, but I hope people are enjoying, the conversation anyway and just hearing about some of the, you know, what it's like working behind the scenes. What's your favorite story from behind the scenes at InfoWars?
A bunch come to mind. Like there's either very successful things or there's things where
catastrophic,
just everything went wrong. But there was something where we were getting a scientist from Russia on about, I think it was nuclear waste or something about that, something like that. And it was for the nightly news and, dude brought him up. I guess you had to be there, but the guy couldn't speak English at all. And it's like, we're interviewing this
guy. You know, don't speak.
And we're like trying, we're like, you know, nuclear, you know, and he's like, what? No, you know,
you're speaking Russian.
And then we just were like, okay, goodbye.
Things don't always go perfectly.
There's
here,
another
folks.
One where we had a guy in from Vice and, I think he had just dropped acid.
Okay.
And, so he was on the other end. I think he was in Brooklyn and he's sitting there and I think the acid hit and he just stood up, kind of wobbled around and turned the camera off. And that was,
and that was it.
We got no interview. Yeah. But like out in the field, I mean, going out to, Bohemian Grove with, like that whole thing that me and Leanne, McAdoo, we went out to Bohemian Grove on the way, and we almost got trapped there.
Mm.
And like that could have been its own documentary. We were talking to kids that were basically, you know, prostitutes.
Oh,
and like you go there, and you're like, wow, this is a slice of hell.
Wow.
So, and then just being able to finally get out of there with our lives. I'll never forget that, but,
there's been some crazy time. You know, you having that rig with the phone reminds me of a time that, there was a Trump rally. It must have been 2018 because we were getting kicked off everything, but we had like five different phones and we were live streaming from this Trump rally.
Yeah.
And it felt like we were the rebels from Star Wars because we would fire up. We had like so many different Twitter accounts and so many different YouTube accounts and we'd fire it up and we'd go live and it would last like 5 or 10 minutes. We'd go, okay, we're back live guys. You got to follow this and this. And then it would go down and they would eradicate that channel. And so we'd pull up another and I literally had like five phones and I was just, as soon as one would go down, we'd pull up another one. And it really felt like, you know, this like, you know, guerrilla attack because the whole thing was that at the Trump rally, every single person there loved InfoWars. And as soon as they saw the InfoWars flag, it was, oh my God, y'all are the best. Everybody's wearing InfoWars shirts. Everybody was, and it was like, you know, at the time we were going, they are desperate to take down this live stream every time we try to bring it up because what we're showing is that the Trump crowd is diverse. They love InfoWars. They're joyful. And it's like, that's what they want to crush. It's the truth. And they had to crush the truth. So there have been so many times where like, I mean, when we say info war, when we say like this is an information war and the phone is a weapon, we are literally like on the street trying to get the truth out. They're hitting us with the Death Star beam, eradicating our user account and we have to make a new one. It's just been It's been crazy, man. It's been such a wild ride.
And it's gonna get even more intense. I can see it. I mean, and that's why we need more people out there. That's why we need the message, because they really want to squash it, and they're figuring out ways by 2030 to completely shut us all down. I mean, that's what this is all about. I'm sure it doesn't end when we get tomorrow.
No, they're
still coming after us one way or another. So we got to come after them.
Absolutely. And in case you're just joining us,
I mean the New World Order.
Right. We got to clarify exactly who they are. Of course, pronouns get confusing in more ways than one. We are shutting down tonight at midnight. InfoWars is going down. InfoWars.com.
And can you explain real quick? Because a lot of people are confused. Like, okay, if the Onion didn't win.
Right.
Then why are you guys leaving? It's a pretty simple explanation.
Basically, the Onion just is like a parasite. They're like a tick. We're walking through the woods. We have a destination to get to. They jumped on, tried to suck our blood. We flicked them off. The Onion has nothing to do with our shutdown. They literally just imposed themselves illegally on it and confused everybody. I know. It's sort of the thing I'm actually most pissed off at the Onion about, because they have just confused everybody.
But the bankruptcy receiver has cut off all of our electricity, our internet, all that stuff.
Stop paying the bill.
So if we go until May 1st, then none of this goes out.
Right.
So we got to get out of here anyways.
So totally outside, like not even mentioning the Onion at all. There's my sad Onion picture. I was looking for that yesterday. I had to make one on AI because I couldn't find the original.
Oh.
So the Onion has nothing to do with this. What happened is the receiver decided to shut us down, basically, and just decided to cut off, to no longer pay for the rent in the building, for the internet, for any of the stuff that we need to operate. And so it gets cut off at midnight tonight. And as of May 1st, tomorrow, we will be in the new network, in the new studios. And you can follow us at AJN Live on X. And the, I guess, unmentionable websites.
And thanks, everybody, for giving us a couple of years to get ready for all that.
Yeah.
If you'd pulled it off 2 years ago, we wouldn't have been ready. You would have pulled the rug out completely from under us. But we can't wait to get out of here now and start coming after you full force, because I've been holding back. I've been holding back a little bit. I really have, and I'm really, there's some things that I really need to get out there, and, I didn't want to rock the boat too much, because when you're in this bankruptcy boat,
it's a little tenuous. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like, you know, I mean, it's, you don't know where your next one's coming from, and you don't know whether or not the powers that be that are above the bankruptcy are going to say, well, that person has said too much. You got to.
Yeah, yeah.
But once we get into the new venue,
all bets off.
And that's the thing. It's like, I have no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. Alex is not going to come to me and say, hey, Bound, I got a list of things for you not to talk about.
Can you imagine?
No. That doesn't happen.
Genuinely funny to me to imagine Alex like, oh, listen, you can't talk about
it. Yeah. Don't talk about the Jesuits, because they give me 25%. Don't talk about the CIA. I got 45% out of them.
Could you imagine? No, it's I'm glad, you know, I was talking to this with John Harmon, actually, earlier, where it's like when they insult us, when they mock, you know, when they call us white supremacists or whatever, John Harmon had a great way of putting it, where he's like, yeah, it's like they're making fun of your blue hair. And it's like, I don't have blue hair, so I'm not insulted. You're not making fun of me. Yeah, you're making fun of something else that you're imagining in your own brain. It's not me you're actually making fun of. So it's like, you know, the enemies, the bad guys, they have this shadow person that they think is me. They have this shadow fabricated non-existent entity known as InfoWars, and they hate that entity that only exists in their own mind. Meanwhile, our audience knows exactly who we are. They know exactly how real they are, how real we are. They know exactly,
because they watch the show. The problem is you go out there into the world, and like, I run into liberal family members, and they're like, oh God, you know, I'm so sorry that you have to work on that program, that white supremacist, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, wow, you've never watched one show.
Never watched once.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
I've had that with my friend, and I asked him over and over, but have you watched the show? Well, I've seen clips. Okay. But have you actually watched his show? Well, I mean, I think I've seen enough. Yeah. But have you ever watched
it? I saw it on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, no, literally, that's it. And it's like, just just watch the show for 10 minutes. If you watch Alex Jones for 10 minutes, you'll be like, oh, I get it. Like, this is, I get it. It's compelling. It's interesting. It's factual. It's real. It's about things that are actually happening. There's inside information. There's, we have, sources and resources, and our analysis is just dead on all the time. Like, just watch the show. You'll get it. Trust me. Let's go out to the calls. Billy in Oklahoma, and we're just going to go down the line here as we have received them. It's like we got a couple people from Oklahoma and a couple people from California today. Billy, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I don't know if you remember me from calling in all the times that I have, but I just wanted to call in and talk about all my favorite calls that I've ever made to you. I know I've bugged you a couple of times when I said Nick Fuentes was right. I called in and said, I told you a story about my wife going through chemo, and I dosed her with vitamin mineral fusion.
I do remember I've always been a fan of Nick Fuentes. I wouldn't get mad at you for saying he was right.
Yeah, well, I called in on a snow day and had my kid say that Alex Jones was my hero.
I do remember that. I remember all these calls, of course.
Oh, man, they hold a special place in my heart. And man, whenever I wear my InfoWars shirt around and people kind of, like, look at me twice or give a little comment, it's like, dude, they have no idea.
That's
awesome.
They have
no idea. Like, yeah, they, like you guys just said, if you just watch Alex Jones for 5 minutes with a neutral perspective, it's awesome, right? But people have this preconception that it, like you said before, we talk about Bigfoot or aliens or whatever else.
I don't think we've ever talked about Bigfoot here.
I don't think we've ever, no, I never have.
Sasquatch.
The Yeti. Well, it's because we're paid not to.
Unless Alex compared Sasquatch to, like, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, Michelle Obama. Yeah. We do talk about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big hands, not big feet.
Big Mike. Yeah. Sasquatch.
You just talking about your calls going back in the past. This is one of the most special things about InfoWars. And it, obviously it's sort of a holdover from the radio, thing that we do, the call in radio stuff. But like, you know, streamers don't take calls. Most of them don't take calls or don't even have a way to do it. And it's a way, it's almost to me like I'm going to say stuff that even I think is kind of crazy. Like, I'm like, I'm going to go pretty far with this, and then I'm going to immediately open up the phone lines and challenge anybody to tell me I'm wrong. It's actually kind of like I'm like, I'm going to make sure that I'm right about this by saying it and then opening up the phone lines and letting anybody call in and disagree with me. I mean, it's a powerful thing, I think.
Well, and the other thing about InfoWars is that we actually fear the callers and the commenters because they're so freaking intelligent, whereas the other media, they think everyone's an idiot.
Yeah.
And they talk to you like you're an idiot. We're completely the other way around. It's 100%. Like, I have no idea. This next person could tell us something that's going to be mind blowing.
Yeah. You know? And it keeps us on our toes. And it's like, man, if I say something that's wrong, they're going to call me out for it. And then, I'm sorry, not to ramble, and we'll go out to your calls, but, probably the most special moment out of, my time at InfoWars was being in New York City. I think this was when I was there to film for Laura Loomer when she was protesting X, but I met a woman who was from Eastern Europe, and she literally started weeping as she was telling me about the dangers of communism, and Alex Jones was the only one who recognized it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it was so powerful. And that type of thing people don't understand. People will come up to you and start weeping saying how important InfoWars is. I'm like starting to get teared up right now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really one of the last places for humanity to speak. And the more that we get crushed, by the system that we're kind of barely even aware of that's happening right now. I mean, Elon Musk is in a courtroom battling the fact that they stole this, nonprofit system from him. And he's like, okay, it has to be nonprofit, but, I'm going to give it to you. It's got to be nonprofit. He's like, oh, okay. And then he makes billions of dollars off of it. And the next thing you know, OpenAI is going to be the judge and jury on journalists like myself to, basically destroy our lives.
Yeah.
That's just around the corner. And so you have something going on with OpenAI like that. And that's the story behind it. But then you turn on NBC News and it's like, Well, Musk was in court today. You know, we don't really like Musk. And
racist Nazi rich guy
Musk was in court today. And OpenAI something something or the other something else. Okay, now.
Yeah, they just move right on. Yeah, yeah.
This great funny video about school buses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but that's the thing about... That's what media does. It just, it's the massage. It informs you, but it says, here's what you need to know, but don't worry about it. Yeah. It's all in your control.
Let's not talk about it like you would around an actual kitchen table. You know, Biden would always say, people talking around the kitchen. Dude, you don't want to know what people were saying around the kitchen table when you were president.
You think InfoWars is extreme? Hang out with any of my friends that aren't on air. They say the craziest stuff you've ever heard. We're going to go to break here. We'll be right back, and I'm just going to go straight out to your calls. We've got Patriot Independence. We've got gay frog killer. Good news. We got Davis from British Columbia. Joe, South Carolina, inner city. We're just going to go through the whole list, get to as many of you as possible in the final segment of the final show under the InfoWars banner here on The War Room. We'll be right back. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com. Folks, if you can't tell we're the real deal, you're maybe not the right person to be watching InfoWars. You gotta have discernment.
Would I have a haircut like this if I wasn't?
Keep insulting yourself. This is, boost your morale.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where they put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your doc chamber's on. Medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best. and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theAlexShowStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Segment of the War Room from the Central Texas Command Center in Austin, for now anyway, it's Harrison Smith with John Bell.
There you go, folks. The crew's working hard behind the scenes. Welcome back. It is the War Room. It is the final segment of our final show here in the InfoWars headquarters, the Central Texas Command Center, the most legendary building in alternative media history. What a wild ride it's been. I'm here in studio with John Bound.
What an honor to be here. Thank you.
Of course. So we wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, you're a hard man to get a hold of, too. I have like four people at the office all desperately reaching out to get you on. So glad you're here. Of course, follow John on X at newsbound and boundreport.substack.com. That's B-O-W-N-E report.substack.com. And you can subscribe there and get his all of his hot takes and incredibly impressive edits. And with that, we go directly out to your calls, and we're just going right down the list here. If you can keep your comments as short as possible, we will try to do the same. Patriot Independence is next on the docket. We got line number two. Patriot Independence, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I got four things I want to touch on, and I'll be quick about it. First is a product shout-out. If anybody is listening to this, if you're still on the fence about the product, get off the fence. Don't be on the fence about it, because these products are legit. So if you want to improve your health while fighting the globalists in style, go to thealexjonesstore.com.
Amen. Thank you for that. Spit in the eye of George Soros and kick Tim Heidecker in the nuts, metaphorically and peacefully, by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Yep.
Yep. So second, product request. I'd like to see Ultimate Fish Oil come to the store, and I've requested this product before. It's Honor Roll. It's like an OG product. I'd like to see that one come back.
That was a good one. I wonder,
was that one?
Honor Roll, the fish oil, of course, is fantastic. The krill oil is another good one. You know, we always have new products, and we'll certainly keep that in mind. If Rex was here, he could probably tell you a good alternative, and I'm sure there's something at thealexjonesstore.com, but everything is incredibly powerful. Thank you for
That's another, you bring up Rex, like Rex and Alex's kids. When I got here, they were just toddlers.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that nuts? I mean, when I got here, Rex was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And, I mean, they all turned out great.
Yeah.
They did.
Really, that's the evidence. It's like, what other, what other media outlet has the head guy's two kids both, like, here every day and working in the office and taking your phone calls probably behind the scenes. It's a family affair, and it's a beautiful thing. Charlotte. Patriot Independence. I know you didn't just call to plug. What else do you have for us, sir?
There's two more things. One, the next one is, when Infowars.com goes down, is band.video going down as well?
I believe so. And
as far as I understand, they own all of the content, right? Well, I mean, that's what I've been trying to research is like, so what happens to the 4,000 reports that I filed?
I as far as I understand it, because Alex for so long has had disclaimers on the website saying all of this is free to air, all of it is copyright free.
Right.
You can't retroactively and go back. But they might try, because the thing is, and the real reason why they want to buy InfoWars is so they can issue DMCA takedowns of our content, and so they can get access to our server and try to find information about us that way. So, I don't think the content is legally going to be theirs, but the idea is that if they, and again, this is me just speculating independently, nobody told me this, so this is not legal, whatever. But as I understand it, or what I theorize that they would want to do would be, they could then reach out to X or to YouTube or anybody and say, hey, look, we hold the copyright to InfoWars. This is an InfoWars product. You have to take it down. Yeah. Even though legally that wouldn't be enforceable, they could get big tech to go along with it by presenting it to them that way. So that's my theory about why they'd want to use it. So yes, I do believe Bandai Video is going to go down. So you don't have long now, folks.
Yeah.
Go get that download button. Start hitting that download button and get everything.
Go to the Bound Report. Download the reports there. Grab them.
Honestly.
But wherever. There's so many channels on there that have, there's so much information there. It's just like YouTube when it happened with YouTube and Facebook. It was like, we had a whole history of the last report I did on YouTube. Was over 1 million views, and I hadn't reached that point yet. Alex would get millions of views, and I did one where I was downtown with the UT kids, and they were all protesting, and it got over 1 million views, and I was like, wow, I finally breached 1 million views. And then they cut all of that history, everything on YouTube, our entire history of what we had done up until then.
We have been under such repression. Like, it genuinely is crazy how hard it has been for us to just run a freaking media outlet without.
And then you start over again, which we're doing tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Bandai Video is going down. Yeah. So download everything you can right now.
Another reason why we need more people out there doing this. So we can get as many out there as we can.
And then upload it yourself, y'all. And this is the thing, we're halfway doing the list. Doing on the ground reports, doing reports like John Bound does. One thing that would be really helpful, just download our content and cut it up and re-edit it and put it some of the different ones together and re-upload it yourself, monetize it. We don't care. We just want the information out there. So
very good point. Yeah. I am not coming after anybody that reposts my stuff, does what they want. They
please
do whatever you want with it.
Please do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Patriot Independence. Gay frog killer in Florida. Are you a killer that's a gay frog? Do you kill gay frogs? Explain your name to me. Welcome to the show, gay frog killer.
I just want to say it's an honor to talk to you guys. I don't know the other gentleman, but I love your voice. You sound like a cowboy, and I love it.
Well, I've been in Texas long enough. Sound like a cowboy. Yeah.
But I just want to say I love the product. I love the T-shirts. I love the methylene blue. I love everything. You guys are amazing. Thank you. And I wanted to call over Israel. I wanted to ask, as a groiper, I'm sort of confused on the Israeli topic a little bit because I don't know where it's heading. I see that a lot of people admire Hitler. I understand. I mean, he's a very charming guy. He did nothing wrong. But I feel like I don't want people to get tricked by the flattery, and I don't want an evil person. I want the what Hitler gave the people, which is like pride of the country, but I don't want people to start, doing the genocide and stuff. How would you be able to?
You mean like Dr. Fauci? We just experienced a genocide in this country. Of course, nobody noticed.
Yeah, well, it's still going on. No, yeah, I totally get your point. And this is something I talked about after Fuentes went on, with Piers Morgan, and, they're getting on him about Hitler. And it's like, nobody is like, oh yeah, genocide, let's do that. But it's about like the imagery of like a proud people who weren't ashamed of themselves and like could accomplish things. And it's like, that's the appealing part about the Hitler edits. You know, they're talking about the edits where it's just like all this like quick cuts, and it's just like, obviously nobody is making Hitler edits where it's a bunch of like dead bodies and ashes. And, obviously that comes along with it. So you can't exactly divorce those things historically. And we're not in favor of tyranny. We're not in favor of authoritarianism. And I've said it all the time. I don't know how I would fare in Nazi Germany because I don't think I would be okay with people demanding that I salute them at every moment and demanding that I say certain things. Doesn't really fit with us. We are American patriots. We are American.
No, I mean, the modern day brown shirts are Antifa.
Yeah.
I mean, we've dealt with our own Hitler youth here.
Yeah.
So, but I understand it's a different time. It's a different situation. There's a reason why there's all those, Hitler documentaries on Netflix and all that. They're everywhere because it's an interesting thing. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, you shouldn't be interested in that, even though we're going to put it everywhere. So we can.
Well, and here's my response to the question about like Israel and Hitler and the problems that we have in America now. For one thing, Hitler failed. Okay. Do you remember that? Do you remember how Hitler failed and Germany has been basically destroyed completely? So maybe don't do what he did because.
Well, maybe he might have gotten Argentina.
Well, he might have made it up, but Germany didn't do so well with him.
Right.
So
yeah.
That would be the first thing I'd say. Let's not follow in his footsteps because obviously it was a abysmal failure. The other thing is that Hitler wasn't, dealing with a population that had been indoctrinated about World War II for 80 years. So we're dealing with a different, and I genuinely think if you brought Hitler back, like, you know, resurrected him and said, hey, we're going to push your message. He'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm a German from the 30s. You can't go with my message. You've got to have your own message.
There's that video where the girl goes in the time machine. She's a liberal and she goes back to kill Hitler.
Okay.
And it turns out they have everything in common.
Everything in common.
So like when I understand that just the amazing, like the video of Hitler's rallies and stuff is just something out of a Spielberg movie and all that. And the history and all that's just really interesting. It's crazy that all this went down. But at the end of the day, the new Hitler is just going to be coming out of Antifa, which is who we've been fighting the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, I went and took on like 300 of them by myself one time. And they're all a bunch of cowards.
That's true.
They all back down. It's just me against them. And, anyway, you know, I can't hate somebody from the past, you know, I do know this. My grandpa went and fought in World War 11, you know, like 11, 11 Han Omar said.
Yeah. So look, we're American. We're not German. We're not authoritarian.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
we love
the
liberty.
Yeah.
So yeah, just, you know, that's the trap they want you to fall into. The false dichotomy is either you're an Israeli shill or you're a Nazi. And it's like, how about we're American? We have this third way that worked really well until it all went off the
rails. Or get creative, you know, like say, I can really tell that John's an Arcturian.
Arcturian?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's an alien.
Oh, okay.
From a distant planet. And I don't want to talk about it.
We'll leave that to the side. Thank you, to Gay Frog Killer and all of our Groyper fans. We appreciate you all. Let's go to Davis in British Columbia now. Davis, thank you for calling from the, frigid north there. How you doing?
Yes, hello. It's David and,
you're on the air. Go ahead.
It's wonderful to speak with you. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Thanks for calling in.
What's the weather like up there in British Columbia, Davis?
Well, David, ID.
Okay.
It's about 20 degrees Celsius,
yeah.
So 60s, 65 probably. This part of the world in Canada is the warmest that we have north of Oregon. So it's pretty warm here. Beautiful place.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it's funny because you mentioned Sasquatches. Well, the film of the Sasquatch film was made in Harrison Lake.
Oh,
interesting.
Huh.
No connection. Lakes.
A little insider
yes, exactly.
knowledge.
Unless it's the time traveling aliens, right? But it's wonderful to see you put a face to John Bound after all listening to him for so many years.
I am human, as far as we know.
Yes, and it's good to see you all, and congratulations on all the hard work you've done for 20-plus years. And I've been listening since 2003 or so.
Wow.
And I just love to see you guys. And think I have to say that the Star Trek Enterprise series ended with a story where they were transferring from an old ship to a new ship, and I think that's what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And have to love all your work. I've got Da Vinci software, but I haven't learned to use it yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you recommend buying some sort of version that gives you extra stuff. That's great.
Not quite yet. The basic version should pretty much cover it all.
You just gotta learn.
Mentioned using it. It must take a lot of work to get through the first bits.
It does. There is a bit of a learning curve, but just keep at it.
Yeah, really the best thing, I mean, YouTube tutorials are great.
Yeah.
And, really the best thing to do is if you have a friend that knows how to edit, you just need to know like a certain couple things. Like once you get a couple keystrokes down, it'll be easier for you. But really, you got to have a vision first, and you have a vision, and then you just find the tools that you need to make it work
to make it happen.
And it's not hard. And the beautiful thing about it is, if you learn to edit, yes, you can be making reports like John Bowne. Yes, you can be cutting up our stuff and posting it and becoming a social media superstar and make millions of dollars. All of that's possible. But if that fails, you still have a marketable skill that you can charge $50 an hour for. Yeah. Like, editing video is a very, very useful skill. So there's really no reason not to do it.
It takes a lot. You got to start with patience. That's something my mom taught me when she would drive 20 miles per hour in the middle of the day with traffic behind it. It's like, well, patience.
Don't get the rush.
You gotta be patient, and you gotta teach yourself. There's some golden rules that I could teach everybody, because you can get there and you want to get it all done all at once, but you gotta stick to a certain protocol and you'll get through it.
Yeah. And just stay organized. It's the disorganization that'll really get you. Thank you so much for the call, David. Let's go to Joe in South Carolina. Joe, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
And, John, I know your voice. I've heard all your reports through the years. Probably been 22 years. I found Alex by mistake. I lived up in New York. I found Alex on AM radio, 1310 AM.
Yeah.
Before they bought it out, threw him off.
You lived in New York City?
No. Rochester, New York.
Oh, man. I used to live on Cuca Lake.
Oh, yeah. So the first show I ever heard, he had Aaron Rousseau on, and it was all about the American freedom to fascism, and down the rabbit hole I went, and it's been 22 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you both, reference the Plato's allegory of the cave.
Yeah.
Harrison mentioned it last night, and you mentioned it today. And I know you're into music and everything, and you play instruments. I have no musical talent. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. But I started playing around on AI, and I got some AI music out there. And one of them is called Shadows on the Wall. It's all about Plato's cave.
Right.
And I think it's got a little twist at the end. I think you may like it.
How do we find it?
Shadows. It's on Spotify. It's all over. It's on all the Shadows on the Wall by Pineapple Joe Music.
Pineapple Joe. All right, we'll check it out. Maybe the crew will.
I got one called The Creature from Jekyll Island. I got one called The Wicked Truth About Oz. It's all about the gold standard.
Yeah,
so
cool.
I've been taking all your information and stories and putting it to music and putting it out there. So
fantastic. Well, that's what we need more of. And of course, we've always championed artists of all sorts, including this type of messaging in their work. And that
Alan Russo, Aaron Russo interview, anybody should go. It's probably on Twitter.
It's a classic.
Yeah, go watch that whole thing.
Aaron Russo, absolutely.
Aaron Russo,
yeah. And, it's funny that just the idea of like stumbling on Alex Jones on AM radio, probably one of my favorite memories of my fours before I worked here was driving down, Guadalupe Street, Guadalupe, as we call it here in Austin, and at Guadalupe and, Lamar, there was a guy just standing out with a sign that just said, "Hear the truth, tune into whatever the channel was Alex was on at the time."
Yeah.
And I remember turning to it, and I already knew who Alex Jones was, but I have such a distinct memory. I just moved to Austin. I'm driving down the road and it's Alex just going, "We're American. We don't bow for anybody. George Washington is in our blood." And just being like, "Yeah." And just like being filled with this like patriotic fervor, just driving down the street.
You'd been thinking that in your subconscious for so long. That's another thing is like Alex, and I told Mark Dice this too. I said, "You guys are like, you're the spigot, man. It's like, you know, the American mind has all this stuff just built up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're the tap.
Yeah.
And it finally got turned and it's just,
spilling out.
And that's, you know, people that, just don't have the, you know, it's almost like we're still dealing with these people that were British, turncoats.
The loyalists.
There's so many of us now that have just been silent for so long. So it's really amazing. It's a cathartic experience to have somebody actually say everything that we've been feeling.
And sometimes it's like, you know, that can be our purpose. I remember going and filming with Owen. We were going to confront the guy because it was San Marcos University, which is about 30 minutes south of here. And the San Marcos University newspaper, we have the paper still, it was that big, "Your DNA is an abomination," was the headline. And it was about how white people were inherently bad. And so we're like, we're going to go confront this guy. And they got scared and they locked the door and didn't let us in the university. And so we were kind of like, well, do we want to? And I remember he and I had the conversation where we were just like, look, millions of people around this country are waking up to this headline and they're getting pissed off and they want to yell and they want to, you know, just be furious at what's being done to us. We're going to be that voice. So we had the bullhorn and we just stood there and read the article and just talked about what a ridiculous and horrible thing it was. And the whole purpose was just, hey, we got to be the voice for the millions of people out there that know this isn't right and want somebody to stand up for them.
Yeah, you're not alone. That's our role. You're not alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, and again, to me, the thing about, you know, going down the street and seeing that sign was like, here's somebody who just on his own volition, during his lunch break, probably because he was dressed like he worked in an office, just decided, I'm going to go spend an hour letting people know to tune into Alex Jones. And it's like, who else has fans like that? Everybody says their fans are the best. Who else has fans that will make their own sign and go stand on a corner?
We've got people with cars out there.
Covered in the InfoWars stuff. It's like, you guys are just awesome, and we appreciate it more than you'll ever know. InfoWar, you're in California now. Go ahead. You're on the air on line 7. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, just wanted to say, the Onion, go get bent. You're not funny. Ha ha. You're funny gay. Sandy Hook found the
that's funny.
As far as I'm concerned, you're anti-American, anti-Constitution, anti-Bill of Rights stooges. You need to be disbarred. And as far as the supplements, the CMOS and the Silegit gummies are awesome. Great flavor. The T3 is very similar to the X3. I know Alex was saying it was similar to the X2, but the X2, you just take a couple drops under your tongue. The X3 and the T3, you take a dropper, and it actually tastes very similar. So, that's what I got.
Well, thank you very much. And, of course, you know, we treat the news like we treat our products. We want to bring you the best because we depend upon your trust, and we wouldn't break that trust. Not if we can help it. So, yeah, the products are great. And, of course, again, folks, you've got – let me give you a time update here. You have 6 hours, 5 minutes, and 24 seconds to get InfoWars merchandise, official InfoWars branded merchandise at thealexjonesstore.com. And don't wait. Get it now while you can. Won't be available forever.
I feel like I ought to shut up. You've been doing the show for so long, and, like, the clock is ticking right there. It's almost over.
Oh, stop. I mean,
there's some confetti coming out here soon.
It's just another day. It's another day. It's another day. It's another day at the office for us here, right? It's like, you know, this is the battleship, and we're going to be entering
into
waters.
If we weren't getting into an escape pod, it'd be just, we're going to blow up here on the Death Star.
No, but it's fine. It's fine. Even people were like, oh, I can't believe we're like going to be leaving all this because we're leaving and we can't take anything. And it's like, I don't want to, we'll just leave. They can deal with all this stuff. We're going to get shiny new equipment. It's going to be awesome.
Right.
I think it's really going to be a great thing.
And what is the new address? Alex Jones Live?
I don't know if we can say it. I don't know. It's kind of, but definitely follow AJN Live on X. AJN Live on X. Real Alex Jones, on X. Of course, follow John Bown at News Bown on X. And I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Go follow us there. We're trying to be very careful. We're trying
Bound
to,
Report on Substack. Sorry.
And boundreport.substack.com. We have time for one more call. Let's go to Sean in California on line 10. Sean, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Harrison. And I'm going to be rapid fire because I know you guys want to close out in style. So here's the thing is that you guys have always been about the truth and nothing but the truth. A little while back, for example, you had the J6er on who went pro se, which is in my wheelhouse. And that's the thing with InfoWars and with yourselves at American Journal and at the War Room and all the platforms you guys have launched is you guys have provided that scrum where the truth always rises to the top, where the American people have success because they get all different points of views, all different types of information. So God bless you. And just remember the one truth you guys got to have. Have Jesus Christ in your hearts, in your families, and in your communities, and everything starts clicking in place. So thanks for the great work you've done all these years. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Kick some ass tomorrow, guys. Thank you.
Wow. What a fantastic final call to close out the show. Now, don't go anywhere, folks, because the broadcast continues. We are going live, and we'll continue to stay live until late into the night. So don't go anywhere. Stay exactly where you are. Follow
Raw
us.
Raw and Uncensored coming up.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be off the radio and on stream in about 30 seconds. So stay tuned. Things could get spicy. Thank you all for being here. I will see you all tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central on the new website. Follow us at Follow us at Real Alex Jones, at Harrison H. Smith, at AJ and Live, at Newsbound, boundreport.substack.com. But don't go anywhere. The party continues for this extended final broadcast here from the InfoWars headquarters, the Central Austin Command Center. And with that, we bid you adieu. Goodbye.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best. And it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.